about. You gotta put it in
perspective. Now I have an AT-40 Extra, a number two smash called The Wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald, the song in which singer Gordon Lightfoot told the true story of 29 men who drowned in a storm on Lake Superior back in 1975.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G. Ah!
I don't know why, you know, I bought that stupid easy listening rock, so all that crap is in my head now. I woke up this morning, and all I hear in my head is just like, yee ba da ba ba da do ba da bee, and something about this boat that sunk. They went out on the lake, and they were delivering Oreos, and then there was a big wave. Mark Wahlberg went into the water. George Clooney stayed in the boat.
And now,
Gordon Lightfoot sang a song about a boat that sank in the lake at the break of the morning.
You're effed up, Bean.
Our feature presentation.
That's how we got to start things.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the most important and significant Kevin and Bean show. Kevin, there's a buzzer. I'm hearing some sort of a buzzer somewhere.
It's on your end with the music.
I don't think so. This is playing fine.
I think that's your end with the music.
Can somebody pull Kevin's hand off the button, please? Hold on. Here's the first part.
The legend lives on from the Chippewa on down at the big lake they call Gitche.
Right? Today's the 41st anniversary of the wreck of the mighty Edmund Fitzgerald. And we do have a lot of stuff planned for today.
We don't have nothing planned. Nor do we want to hear this song, because it's one of the worst of all time.
Yeah, first of all, it's the best song ever. We'll be talking to the son of Captain McSorley, one of the brave men who died that day on November 10th, 1975.
No, Marty McSorley was a king.
Oh, number 33. Yeah. I love that.
Yeah. Okay. We'll be talking to crew members from the SS Anderson that tried to find the Fitz that night.
Nope.
And we've got a meteorologist on to explain how hurricane force winds envelop the Great Lakes.
I hate that joke so much.
This is Jim from Jimmy World. Bean, the Edmund Fitzgerald.
How dare you, right?
How dare you?
You know, there have been hundreds of shipwrecks.
Yeah, seriously, though.
In the Great Lakes.
Not going to listen until you stop
over the years.
The music.
No, but this is
not going to listen until you stop the music.
But this is the
don't
theme.
Care until you stop the music.
This is the,
it's
when
tribute.
You stop the music.
It's so much worse in person.
Stop the music.
Look at the joy on his face. It's
I can turn
so
it
bad.
Off. I can turn it off even
it's
from here.
So much worse in person.
How dare you?
God, that song sucks.
It's the greatest. Look. It has,
let me ask you a question, Bean.
Yes,
I know
please.
You love it because it's about death. I get that.
No, I love it because it's about death. It's a maritime mystery.
Okay,
that's why I love it, is because to this day, 41 years later,
whatever,
we still don't know why the
no
ship
one else
went
cares.
Down. How dare you,
nobody
first of all.
Cares.
A few years ago.
Are they
ago,
still trying to solve it?
Yes, they are.
I'm sorry I asked a question.
A few years ago.
I
drove to...
I can't believe you. Don't shut up.
I drove to Whitefish Bay.
Yeah, shut up, dude.
And I stayed at the Coast...
What in God's holy name are you blathering about?
I stayed at the Coast Guard.
I wish you could just shut your big yapper.
Telling a story here. Daddy's trying to talk.
No!
I stayed at the Coast Guard...
Boring!
Come on, Allie, help me out here.
I will.
Why would she help you? No one wants this.
Because this is important.
No.
And
no.
This is a thing.
It's the opposite of important.
Oh, if people care, Google it. Let's move
right.
on.
Right. Agreed.
Come on, you. Bean.
Oh, this is turning out to be a total waste of time.
I just got confirmation that a member of the crew that brought the
once
bell...
Once again, I am amazed at the level of blithering idiocy that issues from your pie hole.
Hold on a second. We have a call.
If Bean would have been on that ship, that day he would have sank to the ocean floor.
Come on.
We'd laugh, we'd clap, we'd cheer all day because Bean would be no more.
That's just
now
me.
That song
yes,
I can
Bean
get behind.
Bean would be no more.
That's a sweet song right there.
You got to go to the Great Lakes Shipwreck Museum there at Whitefish Bay.
That
you
sounds
gotta,
like the worst
you
plan
gotta,
ever.
I'm telling you.
If I was outside that museum, I would walk away.
It's a humbling...
If I was outside that museum and there was a tornado coming and they had an underground bunker,
right.
I would not go in.
You're right, exactly.
Yeah.
I'm with her.
So I'm going to put you down as a yes?
Nope.
Not for that? All right. Well, anyway.
Nope.
We got a very, very, very busy Edmund Fitzgerald tribute
nope.
show today, and we're going to be getting to all of that coming up later on. So I'm very excited.
Let me ask you a question about the song.
The
I know
year.
I'm opening myself up
what?
By asking a question.
Yes.
I know, it's stupid.
The greatest song
know,
ever written,
stupid.
Right.
When you say it's the greatest song ever written.
Yes.
I mean, it is, it's two bars, repeat times 1,000.
Yeah, it's 17 minutes.
I mean, it's
the music.
It's literally the most repetitive song ever.
The music doesn't have as much variety as other songs do. It's not Bohemian Rhapsody.
I'm saying it's the worst ever.
No. But look.
Is there a song that's more repetitious than that one?
Balls. No.
I need that, Chip. Please make a note.
But you listen to the lyrics, though, and it just draws you in.
No, it doesn't. First of all, the melody is great. We were talking about earworms earlier in the week. Thank you. You're welcome.
Nope.
You're going to have that in your head for the rest of your life. That song, right?
No.
But you listen to the story.
You're off track here.
The way Gordon Lightfoot.
You're off track here.
It paints the story, the details.
At some point, all of us in our lives have to say, hey, I'm really interested in something, but no one else around me is.
You don't know, man.
So I'm just going to celebrate it with my friends that appreciate it like I do, which, of course, you don't have.
That's not true, because my wife is going and picking us up an Edmund Fitzgerald cake today, like we do every year, where we get a cake and we have a ship on it and 29 candles, you know, one for each man. And we have a little celebration. We've got videos. I mean, it's a thing, guys. And I'm telling you, you guys mocked me with Half Christmas, and Half Christmas has taken off. It's now the second most popular holiday in America, and Edmund Fitzgerald anniversary date is right behind it.
It's more popular than Halloween?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
Yes, it is.
Then St. Patrick's Day?
Yes.
Okay.
Hey.
Oh, Kevin's leaving.
Hey, come back. Hey.
Kevin is dejected.
Hey, no. We're having fun. Hey, Kevin. We're still friends, right?
You're a f***ing asshole.
Come on.
I wish you were on the goddamn Edmund Fitzgerald freak.
On the program today, we had to bump this yesterday. We had a lot of late-breaking election feelings to get through. But Ralph Garman, as I hear it from you, Allie, most days after work, he just drives right to the Chuck E. Cheese. Doesn't even go home.
Yeah.
Just goes to the Chuck E. Cheese, just drinks his little heart out the whole day.
Just playing the games, collecting those tickets. That's what I hear.
We're going to find out why. What's up with that? Also got a brand-new Internet Roundup program on the day. Internet Roundup on today's program. Two of Allie's favorite ladies in the world are going to be here. Karen and Georgia are the hosts of a very popular podcast called My Favorite Murder. And they're going to be joining us in studio to talk about it.
What murderinos?
Right. How about Kathy Griffin? Legendary comedian Kathy Griffin is going to be on the program today.
Hey, guys. Huh? Hey, guys.
Yeah. Is this? Yeah.
Is it safe?
It's safe.
Yeah, Kevin, come on back.
We've moved on.
I don't trust you. I'm staying out.
No, Kevin, come back in. We're just promoting what's coming up on the show.
I wouldn't, Kevin. Go home.
Thank you, Chip.
We'll talk sports with Fox Sports 1's Jay Unright on the program today. We've got time for your phone calls with What's Good and so much more. Plus, Ralph's got the showbiz beat. All of that is straight ahead right here on the world-famous K-Rock.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. You're listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. It is 5:52.
Today's Thursday, and you know what that means. I mean, tomorrow's Friday, and at noon, tickets are going on sale for the K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas 2016 shows December 10th and 11th at the Forum. Hey, is Mr. Garman coming in?
Yeah, he's coming in.
Okay. You got to be a street team member, and that's easy and free and fast to do. You just go to krock.com, give them a little bit of information. They'll send you a password, and you can buy those tickets when they go on sale at noon tomorrow. Thanks in advance to everybody who's going to buy those, because the money does go to some great local charities.
And we could also turn on the camera on their computers when they do that, right? From here? I think we can do that remotely.
That's a surprise.
From here.
What? That's a surprise, so we don't talk about that on the air.
Oh, okay.
But that is, yes, that is actually also true. Hey, Ralph Garman.
Thanks for covering for me, Bean. I appreciate it.
What's going on, man?
Strong. For Christ's sake. Hey, let me do something nice for everybody right out the gate.
Okay.
Start our morning off with joy.
We've already done that, by
the
way.
Well, let's
restart
that. To overcome the horrible, horrible start this morning.
Right, good.
Let's raise our spirits.
Like it.
With goodness.
I'm in.
And fantastic beasts and where to find them. Yay! This movie looks outstanding. Eddie Redmayne, what an actor.
He's tremendous.
Colin Farrell. Ezra Miller, come on!
Yeah, yeah, it's
with
good
this
stuff.
Cast. And beasts, right?
I don't think they're ghosts, but
beasts.
And they're fantastic.
They're the best. They're the best beasts anywhere. I have the best beasts. And I know where to find them. So there's a beast now.
Right.
We're doing a very special K-Rock advanced screening of Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them at the Arclight Hollywood. What a place to see a movie. You can drink there.
Wow.
On the 15th of November, movies and theaters everywhere. On the 18th, you will see it before your friends, which will let you gloat, which is always a good thing.
Wow.
We've got five pairs of tickets to give away right now. 1-800-520-1067 is a number to call. Call right now. First five callers to get through. Get a pair of passes to see Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them. Which is part of the Potterverse, Kevin. I don't know if you're aware of this or not, but it is.
No. Kevin said it has nothing to do with Harry Potter.
Newt Scamander is the...
I didn't say it had nothing to do with
is
it.
Is the writer of the textbook about Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them that right. Harry later studies at Hogwarts once he becomes a student.
Unrelated.
It's very related. They're directly related. In fact, this is written by J.K. Rowling, who, of course, wrote...
Don't recognize the name.
...wrote all the Harry Potter
Never
books.
Heard of him.
It's a her.
He does good work, though, as he wrote Harry Potter.
It's a her.
What?
Wrote this and that.
Somebody made books out of the Harry Potter movies,
they
too?
They were books
That's
first.
That's weird.
Then the movies were based on the books, and then the books were turned into movies.
Hmm.
And then this movie is related to those movies.
Okay.
All right. What do you do if you're a vegan and you're dating a flesh eater? What do you do? Here's the thing, because these vegans, man.
Yeah, it's hardcore.
They are. They are. They practice parkour? They run around and jump buildings
parkour.
And stuff?
No, I said hardcore.
Oh, hardcore. here's the case with Gwen Stefani and Blake Shelton. Gwen Stefani is a dedicated vegan, a devoted vegan, and she claims that she can smell meat on the people who eat it. What is she, one of the X-Men?
Okay.
Does she have a superpower?
Well, meat sweats are real.
What's a meat sweat?
What is it? Really?
What's a meat sweat?
By the way, I can tell by the fact that no one knows what you're talking about that it's not real.
meat sweats.
This is a ghost story. This is an alley ghost story. Tell us about your meat ghosts.
I don't want to.
What's a meat sweat, Allie?
Meat ghosts.
Tell us more about your meat ghosts.
I would love a meat ghost.
You
meat
would.
Sweats. If somebody eats a ton of meat.
Uh-huh. Go on.
And then,
if this ends with they sweat a lot.
A lot of people.
Who's eating a ton of meat,
this
by
happened,
the way? At one sitting or in general?
This happened after a bunch of us went to one of those Brazilian places where you have to keep flipping the thing over and they keep cutting the meat. And
were
you're like,
you
no, no.
You have to put a flag up to make them stop?
Yes,
were you drinking?
A little bit.
Okay.
And then the next day, this happened at my old job. The next day, everybody at work was like, oh, did you have the meat sweats? At night, your body is just like pushing it out, and it's this reaction.
Meat comes out of your skin.
That's
so weird.
Like a Play-Doh fuzzy pumper?
Good reference.
Thank you. You start extruding little strings of meat out of your pores?
But the smell, it's the meat sweats. The meat sweats are real. People, go ahead, call in right now.
We're not calling
for the Fantastic Beasts Where to Find Them.
Allie's doing another show. If you've had the meat sweats, give us a call here.
50 Shades of Crazy.
I swear.
We're 6:90 a.m. all talk all the time.
You sound insane.
Well, here's the problem. Gwen Stefani claims that she can smell meat on people who eat it.
Okay.
Her boyfriend, Blake Shelton, he's a good old boy.
Yeah.
You think he likes his meat?
Sure.
Oh, he's all about the meat.
He's never had a meal without meat in his life.
Most of his meals are just meat.
Just meat.
And then they go to make out, and apparently she's having a hard time. Friends say that she tries to give him apples or mints before she knows they're going to be kissing in order to try to cover the horrific meat smell.
This is going well.
Wow. Now, if you're Blake
Shelton...
That's
a problem in a relationship, don't you think?
Yes, it is. If you're Blake Shelton, don't you just give up meat at this point?
Hell no.
For Gwen Stefani?
No.
Okay.
Nope. Meat is good.
There's a lot of women in the world. There's only one meat.
I don't even know what that means.
I don't know what that means either, but there's a lot of different meats. I think you understand what I'm trying to say.
Thank you.
Maybe we should talk to vegans and talk... Is it a problem in your relationships? With family, friends, and lovers.
Agree. Call now. 1-800.
No, no, no. We're
not doing
it now.
We're not doing that now.
But how do you cope with the meat ghosts? And remember I told you Russell Brand and his fiancée Laura had a kid?
Yes.
And we were all speculating on what the name would be?
We assumed that it would be spectacular because
it's Russell Brand and
right.
he's a madman.
Right.
Well, we have the answer. You ready for this?
Sure.
Mabel.
Aww. It's like a little cow.
That's a sweet name.
Like a little cow.
Like Mabel, it's like a cow.
Stop saying it's like a cow. No one knows what that means.
A little cow.
What's happening?
Mabel's the name of a woman, a girl. Not a cow.
I've been sleeping.
Really?
That's a giraffe's name.
It's not a giraffe's name either. It's Mabel. It's an adorable little name for a girl.
I love it.
Now, we just dodged a bullet, I believe, because Russell did tell British talk show host Jonathan Ross, who's great, by the way, that when he found out that his daughter was, that he was going to have a baby, that he decided he may not ever impose a gender on his child when he came to naming it. This is before he named the child. He was thinking about not imposing a gender on the child with the name. Try to name them something gender neutral so that they wouldn't feel compelled to behave any particular way when it came to developing their own gender.
Is
Half Smoky Love?
Does that work or no?
He considered naming her. Excuse me. Wait for it. Jesus 3. Jesus 3.
I assume that's just him trying to be funny.
Maybe. But I bet you he considered it.
Jesus 3.
Yeah.
I mean, there are a lot of names that are both men and women named.
Joey, Charlie.
Chris. A lot of names like that.
Let's keep naming them. Go ahead and call in right
now.
No,
we're not taking any calls.
We're giving away tickets for
Jesus
the movie.
3 wouldn't give a gender.
Huh.
Expectation. Huh. You'd be expected to be a savior, but other than that, no pressure.
I don't know. My Jesus is a white man.
What is wrong with you today?
What is happening right now?
She's not sleeping. This is going to be a good job.
She's got the meat sweats.
Yep.
I don't have the meat sweats.
She's seen meat ghosts all
meat
night.
Meat ghosts everywhere.
She's unable to sleep.
Today's celebrity birthdays, all these stars born on today, November 10th. First of all, hoorah, right? The Marines were born on this day. 241 days.
Ship.
Oh, I didn't know.
He said ship.
I
didn't know. Ship.
He's been rough lately.
I said ship.
I didn't know.
It's like, we were talking, you know it's
rough,
a ship.
Have you been rough lately?
But you know it's a ship, right?
Have I had to get out of belay for you specifically a lot lately?
Being bored us with the F. Scott Fitzgerald ship.
Edmund
now,
Fitzgerald ship.
It is, but the real celebration should be to celebrate the brave men and women of the U.S. Marine Corps, founded on this day 241 years ago. No one tougher. God bless. Thank you for your service. Also born on this day, Tracy Morgan's 48 years old today. Ellen Pompeo from Grey's Anatomy.
Belle?
Turns 47.
So, yeah.
Diplo!
Diplo!
Oh, that's all well and good.
Diplo.
Diplo.
He's 38 years old today. Taron Egerton, you know him from Kingsman. He's 27 years old. Actor Josh Peck is 30. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Hey, hi, guys.
What are you doing?
I'm just saying hello.
Okay, but why?
I saw an interesting article on the BBC the other day about a guy who, he travels a lot for work. And he's afraid because of the last minute nature of the seats that he chooses on the airplane that he frequently gets. He's a frequent flyer. He's on standby list a lot. And most of the time he ends up in a middle seat. Mm-hmm. Which, by the way, worst place on earth, right?
It's not great.
Worst
it's
place great. On earth.
Yeah.
So
I'm not sure it's the worst place on earth.
So here's his thing.
It's the worst place on a plane.
He finds somebody on the plane. He'll approach somebody on the plane and pay that person $100 to switch seats with him because he says, look, I have to work on my computer. There's no way I can even do that in a middle seat. I'll give you $100 if you switch seats. And that's what
Why
he does on a regular
do that
basis.
In a middle seat? That doesn't
on?
Make any sense. He doesn't want to, okay, but he can.
He says he can't. He
well,
says he can't work on his computer.
Wow.
Look, a lot of people, and who knows, there's no picture of this guy. Maybe he's a bigger man.
Okay.
Maybe his,
well, that would make more sense.
Yeah, maybe his arms are just right up against the people next to him, and there's literally no leeway. There's really no room for him to move. But it was interesting to read that and then see the discussion that followed from people about who has rights to the armrest on the middle seat. Now, there are some people who believe that if you are the unfortunate sucker who has to sit in the middle seat, that you get both armrests.
Mm-hmm.
Is that where you guys are?
Absolutely. I feel like the person in the aisle, they're always going to kind of lean on that left armrest. So the person at the window gets the right armrest. So
right.
You in the middle, hey, let's give him or her something. Poor guy. I also offer them a brownie.
And what has your experience been in terms of getting on planes that people all know that? Don't you feel like, and this is what I have seen, is the first person who gets to that seat claims their armrest.
I do feel like that.
That's their armrest.
They sit down, they put their arm up, and then you're blocked. So if you're the last person in your row,
right,
you're out of luck.
Because you just take whatever's left.
Right.
I just feel like
if that's the way we're all going to live, which is the person in the middle has access to the armrest, don't you feel like that's the thing that ought to be either printed in the book in on the airline, or the flight attendants ought to announce that?
Make an announcement when they're talking about seatbelts?
Yes. I mean, look, because I don't think everybody thinks that way or everybody
they
knows
may
that.
Not, but are there a lot of fights breaking
yes.
out? Are there?
Yes.
No. For armrests?
Yes. There are so many fights. Former British Airways cabin crew member Haley Stainton tells the story of a passenger who launched into an argument with a pregnant woman in the middle seat, claiming she was taking more than her fair share of space. The rest of the flight was calm. I was shocked at how this flight had broken out so quickly over the armrests. That's what was happening. And by the way,
that guy's an a-hole.
Don't get me started on pregnant ladies. They're annoying already.
You're the
worst. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you are the worst.
An etiquette expert believes the middle passenger should be entitled to giving both their arms well-deserved surface space. But where do flight attendants stand on the issue? I think the person on each side has the entire armrest to themselves, so they're obligated to follow the lead of the person in the middle seat. If they want to lean completely on one armrest or the other throughout the flight, that's their prerogative, says a former flight attendant for Compass Airlines. So that person says the person on the outside and the person on, you know, the person on each end also gets to, at some point in the flight, claim their armrest. And that they share. They should share. You should share with the person who's sitting in the middle.
It sounded to me when you read that like the person in the middle can lean left, and that means aisle and window got to lean left.
Mm-hmm.
If that person in the middle leans right, the aisle and the window got to lean right.
So in other words, the middle person, in your opinion, should dictate.
The leader.
is the leader. Should dictate, right?
And what if that person just is restless the whole flight? I can't keep leaning, man. You got to pick.
I guess the only reason I bring it up is I feel like if this is the thing that it should be one way, I feel like it should be explained to people. I feel like there should be news on that. I feel like it shouldn't be left up to the people. You know what I mean? It's like you can't willy-nilly just go out there and drive however you want, be in whatever lane you want to be in.
Well, driving is not the same as an armrest on
right.
a plane.
No, it is, though.
It's not it really, in that you're operating a vehicle that could kill someone.
Right. It is, though.
This is a place to put your arm.
No. In that.
Yeah, I don't know. It sounds very similar, Kevin.
Look, first of all, not Mr. Bad Example. This is take it back, Chip. But second of all, what I'm saying is you can't just have people going out there just deciding what the rules of the road are. That's why we all take driver's tests and we all know what's allowed and what's not allowed, because somebody has written it down for us. Nobody's written this down. This is just left up to individual people.
I've never really had an issue with this because I just feel like if someone has that armrest, then I'm not going to use it.
Yeah.
I've never gotten into a fight.
You've
I've never gotten into
an armrest war.
No.
I haven't either.
You've never sat there and thought, man, I sure would enjoy a little bit of that armrest, but I can't because that dude's got it.
No.
Now I've just got to keep one eye on him in case he lifts it for 1 second during this fight.
Oh, what's wrong with you?
If he gets up and goes to the bathroom, it is mine, mother effer.
Maybe you, like, drop a little piece of popcorn or something. You're like, oh, can you grab that for me? They go and reach for it, and you're like, boom!
Both arms. You're on it.
Mine. And not sure why you had a little piece of popcorn.
I'm not sure why you would take that on as bait
you would
in
bring
a plate.
It. You would bring it in case you need it for the armrest war.
Yeah! Look, little bag.
You pack it.
My job is to point out problems where there aren't any, okay? That's
right.
What I'm here to do.
I'm saying there's never been a problem, at least on my flight.
Mission accomplished.
Okay, good.
Less than 1 hour away from Murder Talk, Allie.
Yeah.
I wonder if the meat sweats can murder you.
Oh, that's a great question.
The
host of the very popular podcast, My Favorite Murder, Allie's Favorite Podcast, is going to be joining us right after 7 o'clock on K-Rock this morning. First, though, Ralph is here. And finally, we have the time to explore the bombshell that was dropped on us a couple of days ago here in this program.
This much ado about nothing.
Well, I mean, Chuck E. Cheese, to those of us that have kids that were small.
But have recently been lost.
Yes. Wait a minute.
Should I start over?
Who had kids who were small? There are kids who start off small?
When you have small children, you go to Chuck E. Cheese. And you are very...
Now you're talking young children or just children who are not very... Like Chip.
And
Chip's a small child, but she's not young.
And you're very excited for the day that you no longer have to go to Chuck E. Cheese because that place is it's a pit of nothing but sickness and little kids and screaming.
Jeez, Kevin, who hurt you? Did Chucky touch you inappropriately?
Chuck E. Cheese is nasty.
It's awesome.
Nasty
in other
place.
Words,
it's...
Kevin, you're saying it's like the terrible children's movies that you sometimes have to sit through because you have a kid. You just do it for your parent. You do it because you're
nothing
a parent.
Like that.
You don't like it.
You don't like it, but
you do it because you love
kid.
The kid. Right.
Nothing
but
like that.
But as soon
at
as
all.
The kid outgrows that, you go, I don't have to see those movies anymore.
God,
right.
Thank God. No more Barney. No
right.
more Chuck E. Cheese.
That's not an analogy that's proper at all.
because Chucky always delivers. There's never a bad Chucky experience, although you might run into a bad children's movie. But Chucky is a guarantee.
I feel like call him Chuck E. Cheese. Stop calling him Chucky. It's confusing.
First of all, it's not Chucky. It's Chuck E.
And he's okay. A cheese. He's a block of cheese, right?
Mr.
The
cheese
mascot for Chuck E.
Cheese.
That's what I heard.
See, I'm not even having this conversation because you people are all wrong. You just misunderstand the whole thing.
All right. This is Bean speaking. Don't have kids. Have never set foot inside a Chuck E. Cheese.
Well, then, by all means, join in the conversation because you probably have a lot to offer.
So I'm asking you. Tell me what I'm missing. Tell me why it's great.
Here's the thing. First of all, Chuck E. Cheese, most importantly, is where a kid can be a kid.
Oh,
okay?
God.
It's
man.
Not just a slogan. It's a way of life.
Ladies and gentlemen, here he is,
here
the
he
world's
is.
Greatest mouse, Chuck E. Cheese.
It's Chuck E. Cheese. It's time for Chucky's Happy Dance.
Happy Dance.
This is the dance I do whenever I feel happy.
Yeah.
And when I don't feel so happy,
just before the
all
big
I have
ticket
to do
drop,
is
too.
My happy dance, and then I feel happy.
That's right. Bring it, Chuck.
You guys want to dance with me?
Yes.
Great.
Let's do
it's
it.
It's really easy.
All right.
Just follow me. Put your hands in the air as you jump up and down. Then you bob side to side. Then you turn around.
Wow.
And give yourself a high five.
Wow.
Just give yourself a high five.
Rob is dancing and he knows
yeah.
that hand motion.
Step really high and stomp your feet on the ground.
This is elaborate.
And you wiggle like a worm, wiggle all over town. Then give yourself a high five.
Kevin on the cowbell.
Give yourself a high five.
And that's how diseases spread.
It's not how diseases spread. You're giving yourself a high five.
Is there a stage show?
You're not even touching other kids, you dummy.
You're getting yourself sick again.
No, you're not. What's wrong with you?
Is there a stage show?
No, I'm asking this.
But there is.
There is
a stage
show.
They all come out, Chuck E. and his fans.
They have the animatronics of the band and Chuck E.
Oh, there's not a guy in a suit.
There's not a guy in a suit bar. There's just Chuck E., who makes his way around the restaurant and greets the kids.
Oh, I see. He's a real mouse.
He's a guy in a suit.
He is a guy in a suit. Okay.
Yeah, back to you.
For all the kids who are listening
right.
on their
that's
way to school,
yeah. there's a Santa.
Chuck is
and
there.
Chuck is there.
And that song is usually followed by the big ticket drop, which is a very
now,
exciting
what's that?
Moment. He'll do the Chuck E. Cheese dance, and all the kids will join in, and me. And then...
you fighting with other kids for...
Well, and then he has this giant... Chuck E. rat hands are just filled with tickets.
He's a rat now? He's not even a mouse?
Not when he drops those tickets.
Actually, he started out as a rat. And then he throws them in the air.
And then all the little kids kill each other to get them?
Chuck E. makes it rain?
And you're elbowing them out of the way?
Happening?
No, because all the kids are instructed first crisscross applesauce.
What's that? What is that?
It's when you sit on the floor with your legs crossed.
Oh, no.
And you're not standing up, so you can't start a scrum, and it's like a mosh pit, and you're going for the tickets. Everybody's crisscross applesauce, and then when the tickets hit the ground, you can just roll over, and whatever's near you, you can just kind of gather them up and collect them, and it's bonus tickets. You know, tickets are like gold at Chuck E. Cheese.
But because you're so much bigger than the kids, you can just wipe the floor, right?
I do not participate in the ticket grab.
You just elbow and kick the little kids out of the way.
That would be inappropriate.
Those are mine.
You don't grab as many tickets as you can from your location on the floor?
I don't, no, but I do root on Olivia and give her a heads up. To your right! To your right! To your right! And there's tickets over there.
And you
grab
step
those,
on the little boy's hand that's right
no,
next to her?
No, I don't. I do all not right. interfere. Okay. At no time do I enter into the competition.
Okay, Olivia is there. You're making that clear.
Yes, always.
Okay.
Yes.
So you're not there by yourself.
No, I don't just show up at Chuck E. Cheese.
Well, that was our concern.
Yeah. You in a white paddle
bit.
Van outside the restaurant.
You said yesterday that you love it.
I do love it.
And when she outgrows it, you will continue to go there.
That was a facetious comment.
I'm not positive.
None of us took it
that
way.
I was trying to express to you how much I love it that I am ruining the day. I am pre-sad for the day where she outgrows Chuck E. Cheese and I would no longer be able to go.
You also brought up something that I wasn't aware of. The pizza is great.
Oh, I love the pizza.
Because when I went there, it was cardboard with a little bit of ragu.
It was, that's exactly what it was. And you ate it because any pizza is good pizza.
Sure.
But it's the worst of the
pizza. He says he loves it.
You get the lactose squirts and you don't even know about cheese.
Very true statement.
Let alone pizza, so I'm not really taking your word for it. But if you've never had the pizza at Chuck E. Cheese, it's excellent pizza. It's excellent. It's the only pizza my wife says that she cannot resist. She will turn down pizza almost anywhere else.
No, but that's because she's at Chuck E. Cheese.
Oh, I'm sorry. Maybe you're not hearing me. She chooses when she's there to eat that particular pizza because she finds it so delicious, as does everyone in my family. So you got that going for you. And then you are in what is basically a casino for children.
All right. Let me
it
just say.
It is the most fun to play those games and to earn your tickets. And then you save those tickets and then you can cash in for the big prize like my sweet daughter did when she paid 2,700 tickets for a stuffed Helen, and it's the best Helen you've ever seen.
A stuffed what?
But Helen.
What's that?
Helen, it's Chuck E's friend, Helen, who's, I think they may have a romantic relationship. It's never really been established, but she's a bird.
Well, how much money did you spend for those 2,700 tickets? Because I'm guessing it's $3,000.
Whatever it was, it was a discount because and you Helen, can't put a price on joy.
And Helen is worth 99 cents.
Helen is an important member of our family, and we love Helen.
Plus, when Chuck E makes it rain, she could have gotten a lot of those tickets then.
Yes, for free,
but,
right.
And that's a bonus. But when you're there and you're playing the construction crane, and that drops and it's the jackpot, and those tickets just start spitting out. Yeah. Woo!
I don't even know what's happening here. Listen, Monique, please hang on. We do want to talk to you. We have to take a very quick break. We want calls from...
Skee ball. Don't get me started on the skee ball.
We want to take calls from...
By the way, I crush you all in skee ball. I would crush you all in skee ball.
We need calls from other adults. This is what we're looking for, right? Other adults who feel like Ralph does, that they love Chuck E. Cheese.
Yeah, other creepers.
Okay, other creepers.
Why am I a creeper? Because I take my beautiful young child to a place that
because
we both enjoy.
When your beautiful young child outgrows it, you will still go there.
I'm not saying that.
What did
you
saying
said that
5-2-0.
There was a facetious, humorous comment.
Okay, quick before we go. Full bar? Just beer.
Just beer.
1-800-520-1067. Let's get your Chuck E. Cheese thoughts. We'll talk to you right after this on K-Rock.
Ralph Garman, we may have misjudged the level of adult love for Chuck E. Cheese.
Shocking. But that you might be off base about something.
You were looking like an outlier yesterday when you were proclaiming your love for the Chuck E. Cheese. But, man, there's a lot of the Garmy on the phone right now. Well, he's right there with you.
It's for real, yo.
Here's what I will say is that Allie and I both have the impression, and it could have changed. We're both giving you that option. But their pizza used to be just cardboard.
Look, I don't know.
They would color it orange, but that's it.
I've only started going the past 3 years or so, and it's excellent.
According to Eric Flores on Twitter, Chuck E. Cheese has awesome pizza.
Thank you.
But back in the day, it was disgusting.
Well, there you go.
So
they've improved their recipe, and now it is outstanding.
All right. Let's go to Anthony, line two, to get us going. He's in Whittier, 1-800-520-1067. We're looking for your Chuck E. Cheese feelings. Anthony, good morning. Thank you for calling. You're on the air.
What's up, guys?
What's up, Anthony?
It is all about the tickets, yo.
That's right, brother. You and me, son.
About the tickets.
We boys.
Anthony, what? I mean, here's what I'm confused about. And again, this is being I've never been to a Chuck E. Cheese. But aren't the games designed to entertain little kids? Like, how challenging or skillful or interesting can they be for you, a grown-ass man?
Some of them are pretty challenging.
Yes.
You want to get your kids as many tickets as possible.
Right.
What's your favorite game?
Skee ball is a classic, but they have a bunch of little new ones. But the thing is, this is the trick. You guys walk around to the machines, and kids leave extra tickets.
Yeah, that's a...
Have you found that, Ralph?
Oh, that's a novice move right there.
Wow. Suckers.
Pick those up. Those are the... That's like the little crumbs that, you know.
But, Anthony, at the end of the night, when you have finally gotten your kid, you know, 5,000 tickets.
What time are you going there, by the way, Kevin, at the end of the night?
At 2 a.m. when it closes.
What, after last call, when the kids are getting in the party bus?
I don't know what Anthony does, maybe. But I'm saying at the end of your visit, when you turn in your 5,000 tickets, you get a little plastic ring. Don't you go, that cost me about $700.
It was worth that. Hour or 2 hours, though.
Yeah. All right. Thank you, Anthony. Let's go to Chris.
Sorry, Discount Dan. I didn't know you were looking to cheap out on your kid's joy, Kevin, but some of us don't mind spending a few bucks for happiness.
Let's go to line six. It's going to be Chris in Cyprus. He also loves the Chuck E. Cheese. Chris, how come?
Well, the best happy hour around.
There's beer.
Yes, you can bring your kids in there, and, you know, you can practically get wasted and let your kids just run around.
He's on your side, Ralph.
Yeah, you're an excellent father, Chris.
And then how do you get home, Chris, if you're drunk
the kid drives.
Off your
Don't
ass
be stupid.
With your kid? What do you do then at the end of the night?
You just got to plan your routes and, you know, make sure you go to one that's close.
Oh, so you only have to drive a short distance.
Or walking distance, Bean.
I'm sure he
don't drive a short distance when you're drunk, dumbass.
Well, I hope not. That was my fear. All right, thank you, Chris. Hey, what about this, Ralph?
And by the way, you say, aren't they simple games for children? When that construction site is spinning around and you have to drop the crane on the jackpot to get 150 tickets, you tell me how easy it is.
Wow.
Right?
What, this is happening.
What about this? What about, and I've
Kevin, have you sent Ralph to some kind of rehab for this?
I've heard you say this a million times. Other people's kids suck. What about that? Doesn't that take the joy out of the visit?
Not if you're there with your kid, but if you're there by yourself, which Ralph is going to be one day.
I love kids, especially that age. They're having a great time, and I've never had a bad experience with anybody else's kids. And the parents are also in a good mood, and you talk to them and everything. It's just a fun
thing. Because they're drinking. Because they have to be at Chuck E. Cheese and eat that pizza.
No one. Once again, the pizza's great, and no one has to be there. It's not.
Let's take Monique real fast, only because I want to get her because she worked there, and I want to find out what the behind the scenes secrets
are. Lucky Monique.
Monique.
Hey, good morning. Good morning.
What did you do there at Chuck E. Cheese?
I was both the best and the worst Chuck E. employee. I cried the day I left my interview because they told me now I have a career.
Wow.
It's really family operated in certain areas, but yeah, I would. I was the only one old enough to serve alcohol. All the minors were drinking the beer back in the kitchen.
Oh!
I would do the birthday parties. I would make up my own dances. I would make my friend be the Chuck E. because I refused. I'd let the kids trample her. I'd give the parents free pitchers of beer.
See, Monique's working the system. Wow!
Sounds like you had a blast.
Well, I mean, it's pretty cool when you get to smoke in the parking lot before your shift. Because it's the only way you can get there. I will not step foot in the Chuck E. Cheese anymore at all, ever.
Well, you spent too much time there to ever want to go back. I get
Plus
that.
Plus, you ran an organized crime ring out of there, apparently.
But like Ralph says, it's super fun for everybody who goes, though. Parents and kids alike, it sounds like, have a great time.
Well, yeah, because you let your kids loose and you let everyone else deal with it. I've seen like a
That's
mom
what happens.
Father in her arms, like to throw down another mom. They get crazy there.
What, the parents fighting?
Oh, yeah, for sure. I had two large pizzas in my hand, arms in the air, you know, and next thing I know, I see a mom with a toddler kind of swung over her arm. She straight put her hand on another mom's face, knocked her to the ground. We had to call the police every weekend for something.
Had to call the police every weekend? I want to party at your Chuck E. Cheese.
Fun life.
Hey!
Stop. Put your hands down.
Why are you so proud of that?
Oh, you're the worst.
Chip, come
She's
on.
She's bowing.
She is bowing.
Because of the level of skill that was required for you to say hey at the end of a song?
Yep.
You're taking a bow?
How can you be so proud?
6:53.
Because she rocked it.
Thursday morning, it's Ralph Garman time with the Showbiz Beat.
Yes. Warner Brothers has announced their release date for A Star Is Born, right? How exciting is this?
Finally, they're remaking that movie for the 11th time.
This will be the fourth remake of this movie, Bean. I'll have you know. Bradley Cooper, Lady Gaga.
Who?
I'm sorry. One more time.
Wow. You guys are on top of it over there.
That was a smooth transition right there. That was strong, Kevin.
Thank you. I'm doing good work.
Kevin's leaning on the board and Chip's like tapping him. It's ready. It's ready. Whatever. I'll pot this up. I'll hit this button.
I'll play half of it.
Love the passion, man. Gaga. Yes. And Bradley Cooper will star in a remake of the legendary story of a star who meets a young star on the rise. He's an alcoholic and a loser. And as his star starts to fade, hers grows. And eventually she eclipses his fame.
Lady Gaga!
All right.
It just adds to his troubles, and nobody's happy at the end, I guarantee you.
Because no man wants a woman that has more success than him, right? Is that what the movie's about? Because damn. Wow. Who's with me, ladies?
September 28th, 2018 is the release date, so make sure you circle your calendar.
Oh, I'm so busy that week.
September 28th, 2018.
Uh-huh. Oh, jeez.
Is when that film will hit theater, so it's a very exciting time.
I heard some other, I thought, good casting yesterday on that movie, Ralph, which is Gaga's manager in the film will be played by, who's the guy who has all the pockmark face, that guy?
Seal?
Seal's a good guess.
Thank you.
Who's the, he's a gangster movie guy.
Edward James Olmos?
Nope.
Oh! Yes.
Who am I talking about?
I saw him on Conan when I went to New York about 15 years
Robert Davi?
Ago.
Nope.
Nope.
Come on. Who's the guy? Help
yes,
me out here.
Yes, yes.
Who am I talking about?
Machete.
What's
he
the
was with
name?
Maggie Gyllenhaal as the guest that night.
Danny Trejo.
Nope.
That's a good guess.
Yes.
This is the worst game show ever.
He was in the gangster name movie.
Name that
Puckmark.
Name that
he's
like Puckmark.
Who's in Goodfellas?
He was in Goodfellas. He was the main guy.
Who's
the
Ray Liotta?
Thank you.
Yes.
Ray Liotta. He's also in The Star is
That's
Born.
Who you were trying to get us to guess.
No, I wasn't trying to get you guess. I didn't know. I wasn't holding it from you.
You went to Pockmark with Ray Liotta?
Isn't that the first thing you think of? Because
not even a little bit.
What? He's got the face with the face.
He does.
Good example.
He does have the face with the face, but
I didn't realize we're naming people with faces and faces.
I don't feel like that's he's the person who comes to mind when you say that immediately.
Really?
Yeah. No.
Oh. Allie knew who I was talking
about.
Yeah. Oh, look here. Look.
He's got terrible skin.
Yeah, but it's not like is a defining.
It is.
You know him.
Like
I would
Seal.
Think maybe, oh, Goodfellas first before I think Pockmarks.
No,
or I think, oh, co-star of Shades of Blue with Jennifer Lopez on NBC currently. Maybe I would think those clues would lead me to the answer quicker.
To me, it looks like he had a thrasher accident or something like that that just chewed his whole face up.
A thrasher?
Yes.
You mean a thresher, you mean?
Is that what they're called? Is that what they're called?
Yeah.
I was thinking of Thrasher, like that skateboarding magazine. I'm like, he was just reading it and got crazy.
Perhaps they're called threshers, but my point is...
It's not perhaps. It's not a potato or potato situation. They're called wheat threshers.
What I'm saying is this Star is Born movie looks like it has some pretty good actors in it.
Holy crap.
So Seal.
He's not in the movie. No.
Okay.
We were talking
Do you
about...
feel like you made that story better?
I do not. I do not.
Just checking.
Speaking of casting news, this is pretty cool casting. Big Bang Theory has picked another sci-fi fantasy slash comic book icon to guest star in an upcoming episode. You know, they've had Leonard Nimoy, famously, was on that show a bunch of times.
Right.
Adam West has stopped by on that
Boba
show.
Fett.
Boba Fett.
Boba?
No, Boba, of course.
It's Boba.
Boba runs the wheat thrasher. You know him. Boba Fett down there on the farm.
Vin Diesel.
Vin Diesel.
Vin Diesel!
No, oh, not no. Vin Diesel. No, they've added another legendary actor to their guest
Steve.
Star list. Steve is not making it. Christopher Lloyd, Doc Brown from Back to the Future will be guest starring in an upcoming episode of The Big Bang Theory.
Be real!
Everyone's tremendously excited to work with Christopher Lloyd, who, by the way, is just an awesome guy. Terrific.
The Louisiana Creeper.
No, he did not make the casting list. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. I do want to mention, each and every time we talk about the birthdays, that today is the birthday of the U.S. Marine Corps. These men and women are the best, and we appreciate their service. I want to give them a shout-out as the Marine Corps celebrates its 241st birthday.
I told you the story about the time I pulled up at a stoplight, Ralph, next to somebody whose license plate...
This is Marine-related.
Hey, his license plate was 111075. All right?
Mm-hmm.
So I see that, and I think, oh, man, here's a fellow Fitzgerald lover. So I roll down my window.
I knew somehow I was going to get back to the...
No, but you'll like this. You'll like this story.
Oh, it's ending. So I know. He's telling the story. It's ending.
I rolled down the window. Yeah, I start motioning the guy. Roll down your window. Roll down your window. So he rolls down his window, and he looks at me, and I go, dude, the record of the Fitzgerald anniversary, that's awesome. It's so nice to meet you. I don't meet a lot of fellow Fitzers. And he says... What are you talking about? I said, your license plate is the anniversary of the Fitzgerald going down. And he's like, it's the birth date of the United States Marine Corps, you asshole. He says to me.
And he was right.
And I'm just sad he wasn't packing.
And I thought, well, I guess I deserve that one because that was where he was coming from.
That's real talk right there, man.
Also born this day, Diplo, Taron Egerton, Warren G., Ellen Pompeo, and Tracy Morgan.
Well, that's all well and good, but what does Diplo think?
He probably thinks he's celebrating his birthday today. He's 38. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
We've been working with Allie McKay for a couple of years now, and a few things we've learned about her is, one is, if you go hiking, you'll get murdered.
Yes.
If you go on a cruise, you'll get murdered.
Yes.
And Allie, you believe that Josh Mankiewicz is your real-life boyfriend because you've had a standing date every Friday night on Dateline NBC to watch him talk about murder.
And we've gone for cocktails.
Oh,
I'm just
nice.
Saying. Manks my man.
So when you found out that there was a podcast called My Favorite Murder, what did that do to you?
I was a murderino before the first words were uttered.
I was in.
Really?
And then when I found out my friend Georgia,
hi, Georgia,
was on the podcast. Hello, Georgia. And her friend Karen.
Hi, Karen.
Within
hi.
A minute of listening, I was like, that.
It's like they made a podcast just for you.
I felt like it was, but then it became a whole thing where I realized there were so many people like me.
Now let's talk about
now,
that,
did
ladies.
That scare you?
A little bit.
Yeah, it should. How long have y'all been doing My Favorite Murder?
We just did episode 42.
So okay. It's been like 6 months or yeah. 8 months, I think.
And I know people love origin stories. Tell me about that light bulb moment where you said, you know what, we're not the only ones who love hearing and talking about people getting killed.
Georgia and I were at a party together, and I think it was a Halloween party, mm-hmm. and I told a terrible story about a car accident I witnessed, and everybody else around us kind of like fell away, you know, like, why is she talking about this? This is really upsetting. And Georgia came across the room and like grabbed my hand like, oh my God, keep telling me what's going on.
You're my people.
And she didn't scare the hell out of you?
No, she saved me because wow. I thought that was a fine story to tell at a crowded party. Where people were at different levels of inebriation and, you know.
And I knew it wasn't, and that's why I wanted to hear more, because I'm like, this is what I want to be talking about.
So what do you think the draw is for you guys and for Allie and for all of your fans? What is it about murder that – because most people want to run as far away from the can as they can for murder because it's not a good thing.
It is a negative.
It's a super negative. What is it about murder that is so compelling?
We're here to say different.
All right. What do you think the attraction is?
I think it's different for everyone, but I think that there is a part of us where the people who want to run away from things and don't look at it, we don't want to see it either, so we want to learn every single thing about it so we can avoid it somehow a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah,
wait, so you're somehow making yourself more safe by learning all the details of other murders?
I mean, it's going to happen at some point to someone, so I might as well know everything I can about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just become a student of danger,
yes,
and
yes.
Then you know what the possibilities are. Then you're not, like, ignorant to it.
Right?
That's what Alex would say.
Oh, no.
That's why she won't go on a cruise or on a
no.
hike.
No, don't do those things.
Absolutely not.
Especially not alone.
Nothing good can happen on a cruise.
No.
Nothing good.
Ever. No. Here's the thing about the podcast, though. It's two friends having a very conversational time. They get to the murders. They're not joyful, gleeful talking about these murders. It's so in-depth about it. But you're also kind of okay with the fact that there's anxieties. There's neuroses. There are things happening in this podcast that you're like, these are my people. They get it. But you're so sympathetic
yeah.
to these murders. And there's so much I learned just listening to you guys about the backgrounds of these people that are committing these murders. Every single one of them has had the most horrific life. And it's like they were set up to commit these crimes.
Yeah, there's a couple that we've talked about.
So they're cool?
No, it's very sad. No, it's just chill.
I'm just trying to make sure what we're saying here.
Well, it's almost like you're figuring out what the puzzle is. Like,
yeah.
Because when you hear about these stories, you know, like say there's one that's out of South Carolina where it's a man who they found a woman in a shipping container on his property.
Yeah, just
chained
last
up,
week. Right.
Right. And they found like four bodies. Now they're finding more bodies. So on the face of that story, you're like, this is horrifying. This man's a monster. But then there is more information.
Right. He's not all bad. Right?
Well,
but at the end of the story, isn't that guy still bad and a monster?
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah. He's already, and all throughout the story, bad and a monster. It's just really interesting to see how that happened and what those, you know, steps were that he got to this place. And we you know, we're obsessed with these serial killers and murderers, but we also love these people who are just like out of nowhere snap and this thing, and they murder someone and this thing, awful thing happens. And it's like, I want to know the details of how that happened to them.
Yeah. I mean, it is fascinating. And the way you guys tell the story, obviously, you're having a great time. You entertain each other, which I love, by the way. You're obviously having a wonderful time telling the story. And it's not heavily researched a lot of times, these stories.
I would say we eschew, if I could use that word.
You don't nail down every detail of the story that you're trying to tell. And I do feel there is drinking going on during the podcast as well.
That's my part. That's a rumor.
Oh, yeah, right. My favorite thing on the show, and by the way, Karen and Georgia are in here. The podcast is called My Favorite Murder. And you can get it wherever you get your podcasts, on iTunes or wherever. But my favorite part is the hometown murders that you hear from the listeners.
Yes.
Because so many people out there have firsthand knowledge of a guy They know who went out and killed somebody.
Totally. Yes.
And that is shocking to me. Of course, everybody knows somebody. You know what I mean? But the fact that that many people that you get in touch with you blows me away.
Well, I've always loved that thing. And for me at parties, too, that's the thing that when I'm really awkward and can't talk to someone, I'll be like, so what's your hometown crime that this awful thing happened? Like, that was the thing I always asked people. And
you're a terrible conversationalist.
I am. And I have a podcast.
I do not want to go to a party with you.
But it is like kind of this icebreaker because suddenly people are like, I never thought about it. But yeah, this awful thing happened. My friend in high school killed his family or whatever, and it's usually
joy ensues.
Well, it's like a visceral reaction. Yeah. So suddenly you're really talking about something, as opposed to like talking about Game of Thrones again or the usual stuff that is boring. Suddenly you've kind of hit, and not everyone wants to do it, and it's not totally common. But when you do find a person where it's like they're really sharing a real fear, a real moment, suddenly you're having an actual like human experience with somebody. And I think that's kind of what where it all started for us.
I also feel like after listening to the podcast, there are a lot more women committing murder than I guess I realized. It seems like they're and are you attracted more to those stories because you really want to figure them out more because they're kind of like you?
Or are you both murderers? I think it's his real question.
Oh. We came here to tell you.
Have you figured it out? And you're out there doing it.
I think the like female murder stories aren't as interesting to me just because
aren't.
You seem to call them badass bitches a lot.
I mean, yeah, we do, don't we?
Yeah, you do.
I mean, we just do whatever.
You seem to be kind of impressed sometimes.
We have no rules. There's no rules in this podcast.
Yeah.
I lived in a neighborhood one time where the wife decapitated the husband.
Oh no.
No way.
And if I had more details, I would send a letter so that you guys could read it on the show. But I don't know enough about it.
I don't know that story.
I want to know every single detail about that story. Yes. How did she did she do it on purpose? Did she
She did it on purpose with a machete.
Decapitation.
I get very willy nilly with my samurai swords. Yeah. Sure. Sorry,
that can happen.
But that's a great example, Georgia, because you hear that story and now your head is flooded with questions about what was that couple's life like? What led up to that? How was it done? Was it spur of the moment? Did she plan it out? How did she try to hide it afterwards? If she did, I mean,
where is she now?
Is she super crazy? Was it like a mental illness thing that was under the surface all along and then she snapped? Or was it just, did she know exactly what she was doing? And does she have like some void inside where she's basically a sociopath and doesn't care?
We're all thinking of Allie right now, aren't we?
Hey, guys.
I mean, these are your people, Allie. These are your people.
Just saying.
What's next or anything that you want to do for the with the podcast that you haven't done yet?
We're going to start touring and doing some live shows. We've did a couple and they've been so not terrible and wonderful that we want to keep doing them. Like, they went really well.
I was going to say, we just want to solve all cold cases.
Oh yeah, that too.
All good for you.
By not doing any research?
Right.
Just by,
just kind of bringing stuff up.
Okay.
I mean,
vaguely, details.
Other people do research. That's not, we're trying to break new ground here.
All right.
I hope that we have turned some people on to something that they will love and will add to their podcast rotation because it is awesome.
I love both of you.
Thanks.
It's not for me.
Not for you?
I wish you the best. I want you to have everyone listening to your podcast, but there's enough negativity.
That's
in my,
fair.
I don't need to.
You know what? Sorry, but I feel like that's exactly what a serial killer would say. I don't want to confront you on your own show. You're a legend. You're a Los Angeles legend. But I'm glad I got the chance.
You win. Well done, ladies. My Favorite Murder is the podcast. Karen, Georgia, thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you.
Are the Chargers moving up the 5 to Los Angeles? We'll find out when we talk to our friend Jay Unright from Fox Sports 1 coming up just after 8 o'clock this morning. Comedian Kathy Griffin on the show later today as well. But first, how about a brand new Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup?
Kevin and Bean. Internet Roundup.
Yeah. Oh, watch me, baby.
Internet Roundup. Come on, y'all.
Internet Roundup. Oh, watch me, baby.
Internet Roundup. Check it out, y'all.
Internet Roundup. Oh, watch me, baby.
Thug life.
What is going on?
Wow. Thank you, Omar. I guess. Hey, formerly Dave, the King of Mexico, our producer, now Dave Johnson, the King of Canada. In the Trump America world. How are you, sir?
Greetings and salutations.
Dave is now white. Now that we have a new president, he's decided it's better to be white. We got a great batch of Roundup videos for you. We only have time to spotlight a couple of them here. And this first one is very confusing to me. It's a lady named Stephanie, and she works at The Onion. So originally, you know, the first thing I thought is, oh, this can't be real. But it apparently is real. It looks like it might be real. She's been a vegetarian since she was in middle school.
Wow.
And for whatever reason, and it is not explained on the video, she decided she was going to break the ban on meat and just start eating it all. So they take her to a steakhouse in Chicago, and you watch her, a vegetarian, for the first time in 22 years, putting meat in her mouth. And let me just say, she realizes she had been missing out.
Kevin is searching for a bell.
Come on. Oh, man. All right, I'll play the clip then.
I get what, like, juicy means now. That crunch, man. That's real good skin. That's weird to say. The flavors are just oozing out in every bite. It doesn't happen with vegetables ever. It's like, no, animals are, you can't hurt them. And I'm like, I'm going to suck this out of your bone. Oh, my. Right,
hold on.
It's like a butter.
I'm sorry, what?
I didn't realize this was going to be the dirtiest table
that's
ever.
What's going on?
That's bone marrow. She's having bone marrow. Okay. Yeah. She's tried all sorts of different kinds of meat.
You don't go from a 22-year hiatus to sucking bone marrow.
Why do you think she's doing it then?
You just don't.
You
think
they lie and she's not a vegetarian?
Absolutely
not. To be a viral video. However, the only way that it could be real, you said middle school?
Since middle school.
So maybe it wasn't really her conviction. Maybe it was somebody else, her parents, or somebody else's.
But what changed your mind? Because most people who are vegetarians.
I'm just saying that's the only way I buy it.
Most people who are vegetarians, they have a reason why they don't eat animals.
Right,
okay?
But they wouldn't do this.
It seems she's enjoying it a lot more. There should be a lot more trepidation, I think.
Right, that's what I'm saying.
Well, let's hear some more of the dirtiest talk about meat you've ever heard.
Oh my, it's like a butter I didn't know existed, but it tastes like meat. But they should make gum this flavor, so I chew it all the time. I'm going to quote Gwen Stefani right now and just say that this is bananas.
Right?
Yeah.
I don't think that's what we're saying.
You see somebody who's like, oh, I can't finish that. Ugh. Punch him in the face and take whatever they've left.
Nope.
Not buying it.
Nope.
Not buying
it. She's going so overboard. If you hadn't had meat in 22 years, you would be taking little bites. You'd be like, oh gosh, I don't know.
And you'd be wondering if you were making a mistake.
Making a mistake. You probably wouldn't feel great, too, because your stomach would be like, what is in my stomach?
Well, the comment section is all about what a bad night she's about to have.
Oh, yeah.
After 22 years of no animal meat.
She is going to be on the toilet holding a trash can in her lap.
Brought to you by the USDA.
All right. Next video, perhaps the greatest nature video you'll ever see is on this week's Kevin Bean Internet Roundup. This is a little iguana who is trying to get away from how many snakes do you think, Dave? Like 40?
All snakes.
It's almost like an Indiana Jones movie he jumps in and all the snakes in the world are there.
It is the most dramatic thing you've ever seen. This iguana is just trying to get home, and he has to walk past a snake pit.
It's a baby iguana, too. It just got hatched, and he's like, all right, I gotta go meet my parents. And then, uh-oh.
And then these snakes come out of everywhere, and they're
going to eat you.
There are multiple versions.
Then the vegetarian woman eats it?
No. There are multiple versions of the Kevin Bean Internet Roundup. Please watch them all. This one is Ozzie Man. We featured him before, who does great play-by-play of lots of things. And in this case, he's doing a play-by-play of a BBC documentary of an iguana trying to get away from a bunch of snakes.
There's a young iguana walking to school by himself, and there's a pack of snakes. The little bastard should have gone a different way. It's not the first time he's been bullied, though. He's like, no worries, I can't go left. Above me is and going right is I reckon I'll just hang tight. Look at all the slimy wankers emerging from the darkness. It's like a Kentucky holiday nightmare. Meanwhile, the iguana is breaking land speed records. They can't catch him. He is like the Usain Bolt of baby lizards. He flies around the corner. But look out, there's an ambush hole. Off, no! Corrupt politicians, war in the Middle East, shorter seasons of Game of Thrones, and now this bullshit. Oh, it's all good! His little legs are working overtime again. I need a nap from watching him. I'm about to pass out. He is cool as a cucumber, though. He is like, from this point, I just need to listen to Bear Grylls. I have to get to higher ground, start a campfire, and drink my own...
Spoiler alert, the iguana survives, by the way. It's not one of those videos with a sad ending. He does get away from the snakes.
Well, if you watch the full clip...
Oh, no, don't tell me.
R.I.P. baby iguanas.
No!
Yeah.
Why are you so bad?
Let Dean believe.
It's a feeding frenzy.
You can see these videos and so much more. It's a brand new batch at krock.com or kevinabean.com. It's a brand new Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup.
Internet Roundup. Come on, y'all. Internet Roundup.
Oh, watch me, baby.
Last year, there was a chocolate crisis with the Cadbury cream eggs. You guys remember that. I'm sure you all weighed in, and it broke families apart like it did in my household. They changed the recipe. They used a different kind of milk to make the Cadbury cream egg.
I was not aware of that.
And it didn't taste the same. And, I mean, it was...
It didn't tear my family apart, but I was unaware of it.
I love chocolate. It was outrageous, and it was unacceptable.
Mm-hmm.
And eventually they changed it back because there was so much outrage, so much protest, so many people boycotting the product because, hey, that's not the Cadbury cream egg that we grew up with. Well, that was last year.
Mm-hmm.
This is this year. And it's happening all over again. And once again, it's a chocolate emergency, you guys, because Toblerone. Who doesn't love Toblerone? Toblerones are awesome, right?
They are great.
They're great.
Yeah.
Okay. So you go to the store today, Kevin, you buy a Toblerone. What if there's not nearly as much chocolate in your Toblerone as there was last time you went and bought one? What if there were more gaps and fewer little mountains of Toblerone delicious chocolate? You're ticked off, right?
I would take to the streets. Is that what people were marching for
last
night?
That's why they were in the streets last night.
I didn't realize that.
It was because of Toblerone. There is a tremendous backlash. Apparently, the price of chocolate is up or something, so they're just trying to cut back on how much chocolate they have to spend to keep the price the same. And people are not having any of it because it's a tradition.
Here's a tweet. Trump, Bowie dying, and Brexit. Thought this year couldn't get any worse.
Wow. A very serious chocolate eater.
This is a real emergency for the company, for Toblerone, because now they got a lot of unhappy fans out there. How do you deal with it? It's a public relations nightmare.
Well, if people don't know what sets Toblerone apart, it looks like little mountains.
That's right.
Throughout the chocolate.
Yes.
So you're
now
telling
more
me
more valleys and fewer mountains.
Yeah, you're Bingo. Telling me it's just straight.
No. They're still giving you a little bit,
a
but
little
it's just a
mountain.
Smaller mountain range, and the mountains are fewer, you know, further and apart.
Well said.
Let's find out what's going on and how this can be resolved, because it's breaking the world apart, you guys. The president of the Toblerone Chocolate Company, Hans Kruller, joins us on the phone right now. Mr. Kruller, welcome, sir.
Thank you for having me.
And you are from where, sir?
I am from Switzerland.
Oh, is that where Toblerone is made? It's Swiss chocolate.
It is Swiss chocolate, yes.
Okay.
And that's where it originated, and we created the Toblerone, and in fact, the peaks of the Toblerone are a tribute to the Alps.
Oh, how about that?
Now,
yeah,
is this?
Yeah, that's the history of Toblerone.
That's very interesting.
Is this a PR crisis, like we're led to believe?
Well, you know, I've spent my life as a chocolatier.
Uh-huh.
My family, for many generations, also were chocolatiers.
Mm-hmm.
And I spent my internship in the fields of Brazil, of gathering cocoa mm-hmm. and cacao. And then I was a small child. I was a sugar boy, where you had to bring in the sugar into the mixing room to learn the process.
Wow, you've done it all.
I have done every step of the cooking of chocolate, dedicated my life to it.
Right.
And making the Toblerone my entire life. And for people who are upset about this, I say, what the F is wrong with you?
Wait, that doesn't sound very responsive to your customers who love your product.
Listen, douchebag.
Whoa!
Listen, the price of the Toblerone is staying the same.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And in order to do that, we have to reduce the weight of the Toblerone. So if we had the prices raising, then you would bitch about that. So kiss my ass. Is what I'm saying.
This just doesn't sound very consumer friendly.
Yeah, bad marketing.
Yeah,
right now.
I mean, look, you've got people who are really upset. They love your product and they don't want it to change.
Like this Olympic silver medal winning cyclist, he tweeted, "What have they done with Toblerone? From a life in hotels and standout comfort for staying at a decent place, it's all been compromised."
Would you like to pay more for the Toblerone?
Well, I mean, I don't think anybody would.
I don't think anybody stick it in your hiney hole.
Is that your official position?
It is. Because if we raise the price, then you'd all be bitching about that. So, you know, take, I say for you, milk lemonade, round the corner fudges made for you. That's what I tell you for you. Now having that in your face, how about that?
Wow, I just don't feel like you're being very responsive to your paying customers. I mean, that's your livelihood.
I know. I am just feeling like, bite me. That's what I'm feeling.
Okay.
All the people bitching. It's the best chocolate in the world. Eat it, don't eat it. I don't give a damn. Be good?
I think we good. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 7:52.
Chargers fans, how likely are you to have your team move closer to where you live? We'll find out coming up right after the top of the hour here on K-Rock. Thursday morning, Ralph joins us now. Time for the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
San Diego Superchargers.
One of the great songs of all time.
It's a pretty snappy tune.
Oh, it's a great song. Great football song. There have been very few great football songs.
I agree.
Ram It, of course.
Sure.
Don't forget, yeah. Ram It.
Now, the greatest football song of all time, though, is...
Fly, Eagles, fly.
I don't think so.
On the road to victory.
I don't think that's it.
I don't think so.
Fight, Eagles, fight.
I know that...
For a touchdown, 1, 2, 3.
I know that this is going to be...
Hit them low, right. Hit them high.
Tough for you to hear, but...
And watch our Eagles fly.
Okay, thank you. All right.
Okay.
Great. Fly, Eagles,
right, thank
fly.
You. That's we've moved on.
On the road to victory.
That's a fine song, and I know you...
Okay, seriously. Eagles!
Don't you agree?
Sorry, we're out of time. Birthday's today.
They're your mortal enemy, Ralph, but Hail to the Redskins has got to be the greatest football song of all time.
Not even close.
Hail to the Redskins!
Not even close.
Yes!
Please.
Greatest football song of all time.
Yes, no. Name a better one. Name a better
Super
one
Bowl
than...
Shuffle, mother effer.
But that wasn't a theme. I mean, I guess it was
it's
for one year.
Goddamn right it was.
Yeah. For 1 year it was. I'm talking about the one that the fans sing in the stand year after year after year.
Because we're the... Houston Oilers, Houston Oilers, Houston Oilers number one.
San Diego
Superchargers,
San Diego.
Higher.
Superchargers,
San Diego
Superchargers, San Diego.
That's straight disco.
That is.
But the Patriots, though.
What's
what
song?
About Rabbit?
Oh, it's the Imperial March.
Should be. That makes sense.
Doesn't that make sense?
Yeah.
Gronk, you are now part of us. You have completed your journey to the dark side, Gronk.
Do you know?
Do we have any Hail to the Redskins? Do we have a copy of that or no? Because I'm telling you, that's the one, you guys.
Listen, you had your chance to be a Redskins fan, okay? You were born and raised in the Washington, D.C. area, and you chagrined.
I wasn't to
You
big,
dismissed. You decried. You denounced.
This isn't about what team anyone follows. This is about just the quality of their theme song, of their football theme song.
Nah.
And I'm saying Hail to the Redskins is the greatest. That's what I'm saying.
I don't know if I know it.
No one knows
Hail
it.
To the Redskins, da-da-da-da, victory. That's why it'd be better if we had something we could play, because I'm not claiming
My favorite line is na-na-na-na, victory.
That's my favorite one,
I'm not
too.
Claiming to be bringing it home. I'm just saying that's the one. All right, we'll find that. We'll play that.
Yeah, we'll get right to that.
We'll discuss another time.
We'll get right on that.
We'll get right on that.
Hey, thanks for your help, Omar.
Get
Appreciate
right
it.
Back to you. Well, because no one knows the song. It barely,
it's a thing.
It barely exists.
It's immensely popular and has been for decades.
It's not even a thing.
Less of that.
Yeah. Kelly Riffa is woman enough to admit that she's a wee bit on the vain side. She revealed yesterday that she had a bad batch of Botox a while back.
Same.
Right? She got some bad Botox treatments, and she said she was trying to fix her good side, and she said, I ended up with two bad sides.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Why are you trying to fix your good side?
For a six-month period, everyone was asking her why she wasn't smiling.
Oh.
It turns out she couldn't.
Wow.
Because her face was filled with botulism.
That's not ideal.
No, not it is. Here's the thing about plastic surgery et al., things that people do to want to look their best. And I don't ever judge anyone for doing any of that. You want to get the surgery, you want to shoot your face up with Botox, whatever you need to make yourself feel better, I get it. But you got to know once you step into that ring that there's a real big potential downside.
And a lot of times it doesn't work out the way you think.
Boy, man, it can be
a real
disaster.
I mean, you look at like a Kenny Rogers or somebody who thought, oh, just a little eye lift. And then a minute later, he's unrecognizable. You don't even know who he is anymore.
It's a good example. Kenny Rogers. Current? I like it.
Well, you know.
Doing solid work over there, Bean.
Were you guys aware that he had terrible plastic surgery and now is almost unrecognizable?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, that's my point.
Are you standing up? Are you going to rush me? Is something going
something
on over there?
Something is weird right now.
He got up.
I'm uncomfortable.
He's standing up. He's clutching his chest. There's a chair's been pushed back. It's making me very uncomfortable.
Yelling about Redskins?
You're going to agree that Hail to the Redskins is the best theme song or we're going to throw down.
All right. Speaking of agreeing, this election is tearing families apart. upsetting friendships, ending marriages.
When do we vote, by the way? Isn't that coming up in early December, election
think,
day?
The 28th, if I'm not 28th,
mistaken. 28th, that's right.
Okay. Hillary Clinton supporter Katy Perry revealed that there's troubles in her family because her parents voted for Donald Trump, and she was so very outspoken about Hillary Clinton on the campaign trail. And now there's a rift. There's a rift. It's going to be a tough Thanksgiving at the Perry household.
Well, her dad's a preacher, right? Yeah. She's a godless whore. So,
see?
Wow.
They're not going to have the same candidate.
How
and the worst part
you?
Is she can't even accuse them of having bad judgment because she married Russell Brand.
Well, there is that.
So, what? She doesn't have a leg to stand on.
She did marry Russell
Brand. Isn't that nuts? Yeah.
That happened.
And Michael J. Fox is talking about his diagnosis, of course, with Parkinson's disease that he has lived with now for 25 years. It's hard to believe it's been that long. But he did a great interview talking about how he's supposed to be pretty much disabled by now, but he has fought the disease, and with advances in medicine and technology, he's been able to live a pretty high quality of life. He said he admits that some days are better than others, and his biggest issue is balance, but he says he can still go to the store and play with his kids and get around. So
that's good.
He doesn't feel sorry for himself. And he said he's still very much into acting. He said, I can play any character as long as they have Parkinson's disease. So he's keeping his sense of humor as well. God bless that guy.
I mean, it was debilitating by the end, but Muhammad Ali lived for decades with Parkinson's.
Yes. How about Kenny Rogers? Is he doing okay?
He's fine.
He's doing all right.
Just looks weird.
Except for his face. Today's celebrity birthdays. Tracy Morgan is 48 years old today. Actress Ellen Pompeo. You know her from Grey's Anatomy. She's 47. Warren G., he's 46. Actor Josh Peck turns 30. Taron Egerton from the Kingsman films. I can't wait to that second one.
Me too.
27 years old today. And a Diplo. Diplo's 38.
Diplo.
That's all well and good, right?
Right.
Nothing?
No.
All right. I'm surprised because we've mentioned him several
times. Well,
that's
all well and good, but what does Diplo think?
It was there, there an hour ago. I can't believe it went away so quickly. It's strange to me. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Your calls later this hour with Kevin Beans. What's good? And at 9 o'clock, one of the most exhausting guests we have all year.
And by exhausting, you mean funny.
And delightful. Kathy Griffin will be joining us in studio coming up with me. I love Kathy, too. I'm very looking forward to it.
You just called her exhausting.
She's exhausting.
He uses bad words for people he likes.
I'll tell you who else I like is that that Jay Unright and that Dan O'Toole over there on Fox Sports 1. They're doing a tremendous job, and I'm hoping he will rent me his house in Canada now that things are different. Jay, welcome back to the Kevin Beach Show, my friend. How are you, sir?
Oh, I'm great, guys. It's and you're welcome up in Canada anytime. Happy to sponsor any of you. And
okay.
I wish someone would call me exhausting in a sexual sense.
Oh, whoa.
Wow.
Took a turn.
Go on.
Are you hoping for that from this room?
Well, yeah, I'm open to anything. I'm
okay.
Getting old at this point. You
I
know,
see.
So beggars can't be choosers.
All right. Well, good enough. Well, listen, we're delighted to catch up with you. You really are doing great work. And by the way, can I just say, is it true when I see all those promos on Fox Sports 1 that talks about how they're kicking ESPN's ass, basically, by being the most watched sports channel at night. Is that true?
Yes.
Really?
That's 100% true. Yes. 365 days a year. No. It's true. Let's see. We have an incredible October schedule, guys, because, of course, we have the baseball. So this year we had the National League Championship Series with the Cubs going all the way to the World Series.
Mm-hmm.
Big numbers on FS1. So for that 1 week, that glorious one
right.
Week,
okay.
We really were kicking butt. We were doing great.
Okay. And then the World Series ended?
Yeah, and then the World Series ended, and then the world collapsed.
Okay.
No, not quite like that. But we're still a bit of an upstart network for sure.
Well,
but,
you guys are doing a great job. I just want to say that. You really are.
Thank you. Yeah, it's fun. We love doing it. We're trying to be a daily show for sports, and I think it's working out okay. So, hopefully they'll keep us around, and hopefully Trump won't deport us back to Canada.
Okay. All right. Well, listen, we got a couple things we want to run by you, Jay. I'm going to be completely honest and say I have not been following what's been going on with the Chargers and their attempt, or at least some people's attempt, to get them to move up Interstate 5 into Los Angeles. And the reason I haven't been following is because now there's a football team in Southern California. If the Rams weren't here, I would care a lot more about whether the Chargers are coming. But I kind of already feel like, hey, we got that covered. But what is the likelihood, in your opinion, that the Chargers also move to further up north in Southern California?
Well, now, guys, the likelihood has increased exponentially thanks to the fact that on Tuesday, the city of San Diego overwhelmingly voted to reject the Spanos family's latest stadium plan, which would have essentially – it's actually not a bad plan because it wouldn't really have taken any money out of the local taxpayers' pockets. What they wanted to do was increase the hotel tax in San Diego. And obviously lots of people love to go and stay in San Diego. They wanted to increase the hotel tax pretty significantly, though, about 4 or 5%, and use that money plus some NFL money and some Chargers money to build a new stadium. The city rejected that overwhelmingly, and now it looks like pretty likely, and you hate to say this because San Diego is the city that, you know, they've got the Chargers, they've got the Padres, that's it. You don't want them to lose that team, but it doesn't look good for them to keep the Chargers in, and it doesn't look like Dean Spanos, the owner of the Chargers, guys, has many other good options other than to join Stan Kroenke here in Los Angeles and jump into the new stadium.
So they would share the new stadium with the Rams, right?
That's right, exactly. And the reason that Spanos doesn't like that plan is essentially he is God, I hate to say this about the Clippers because I know the Clippers are a better team than the Lakers, but this is a Lakers town. That is what I have learned from moving here and living here. And the Clippers are always going to kind of be a second-class citizen in the Staples Center. I'm sorry, Steve Ballmer, it's a fact. That's the way the city feels. At least that's what I'm seeing.
Until some championships, I think that's true.
Until some championships are won. So that's how Spanos feels about the Rams. And unfortunately, though, I just don't think he has many other options that are better than that.
Well, I wanted to bring that up, too, Jay, because it used to be for years and years and years, every time an NFL team wanted a new stadium, they would say, or we'll move to L.A.
Yeah.
But now that the L.A. thing, you know, for most, you know, now that there's a team already here, I feel like there's not another city out there that's a stalking horse, except maybe Las Vegas. But they seem to be pretty far down the road with the Raiders already.
But that's not a done deal.
That's not even close to a done deal. You're right, guys. I mean, it's getting further down the road, but that could easily fall apart as well. And this is the problem for Spanos and the Chargers. If they say, you know what, we'd rather not come to L.A. with the Rams, we'll take our chances in San Diego, try to figure something out here, then the Raiders could say, oh, you guys don't want L.A.? Well, guess what? We are L.A. We love, you know, there's tons of Raiders fans in L.A., obviously, still to this day. So we would be happy to join the Rams in Los Angeles. And then all of a sudden the Chargers are dealing with three teams in Southern California, and that's not a good thing for
all them sharing the same teams. They have to play like on a Tuesday at noon.
But you know what? You know what's funny? Like, would that be such a bad thing? I mean, when you think about it, it's 8 home games a year. It's not like the Clippers, the Lakers are playing 40.
No, there are a lot more basketball, Yeah, true.
Right? So you know, you think of the Giants and Jets sharing East Rutherford Stadium in New Jersey. It works beautifully.
There's no alternate weeks.
That's right, exactly. But it doesn't probably make too much sense to have three LA teams. I think we're probably good with one.
It is funny for going 20 something years with zero, and now all of a sudden
We're like, please stay out. We have enough teams.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know, but I will say though, just to wrap that up, like I'm impressed with how the city has embraced the Rams. I mean, there's a history with that team here, and the Chargers just don't have that. You talk to people here about the Chargers possibly coming here, and everyone's just so like, whatever.
How about the St. Louis Chargers?
See, that's not a bad idea. That's not a bad idea, but it's kind of the same problem. They need a stadium. That's why they left St. Louis. That's why the Rams left. They needed a new stadium. They didn't have a new stadium, or at least they weren't willing to wait for one. I'm sure that St. Louis would roll out the red carpet for the Chargers. So you know what? That's actually a great idea.
It here first.
Are you going to use that? You're going to use that tonight and look like you're all smart and stuff, Jay?
I swear to God, no. Jay, you take it.
People know that I'm not smart, so I won't bother.
All right, last question for you then. If you had to put a percentage on it, just based on what you see and hear and know, how likely is it, 1 to 100, that the Chargers end up moving to L.A.?
I would say at this point, guys, after Tuesday, it's probably 75%.
Wow.
Because I just don't see it's all the reasons I said. There's no other real great options unless, like Ali said, maybe St. Louis rolls out the red carpet or – I just think they're too afraid that the Raiders will, if they don't take that spot in Inglewood, then they know that the Raiders will.
Gotcha.
Let me ask you another question then. One last follow-up from 1 to 100. What are the chances there will be two teams here in the next couple of years?
Oh, I think
100%?
100%, absolutely.
Wow.
Because it, for those reasons I just laid out. I just think it's a guarantee. And this stadium, guys, that Kroenke's going to build, is not just going to be a home for the Rams, but it's essentially going to be a home base for the National Football League Network, the Combine, The NFL, you know, they're going to do awards there. It's going to be like a center for the NFL.
Super Bowls.
Period. Multiple Super Bowls.
Yeah.
LA.
You think that
Goodell guy is going to be coming out here a lot more?
Say that one more time.
You think that Goodell guy is going to be heading out here instead of staying in New York?
Allie doesn't want to breathe the same air as Roger Goodell.
I do not. I will pick that man.
He'll be here. He's got too big of an ego to not show up. But I truly believe, yeah, there it's 100%.
Okay.
I'm going to say 100% that we're going to have two teams in LA.
Good times. JayandDan.com, FoxSportsLive.com, and, of course, the show airs nightly at 8 o'clock on Fox Sports 1. Jay Onright, thank you so much for jumping back on. It's been a while since we talked to you. We missed you, man. It was fun.
Yeah, miss you guys. Have a great day, okay?
Bye-bye. Thank you, Jay.
Yeah, you just added it.
They were already hanging. You didn't bring anything. They already had a hay at the end of the song.
Thank you, Chip. Felt like I nailed it. Thank you. It's the Kevin and Bean Show. It's 8:22.
One day, if you're a girl, you look in the mirror, and there they'll be. Instead of a flat chest, two bumps. These are the beginnings of your breasts.
Oh.
And they're not there just to look pretty.
No, they're not.
They're useful,
they
too.
They are useful.
Oh, stop.
Allie, you skipped that step. But for a lot of ladies, it is very tough being a woman with the boobies. Very, very tough. You have heard complaints of painfully nauseous periods, bras that stab you in the back, for instance. And a lot of times women think, why are you staring at me like that? Why are you giving me the evil death ray stare?
She's just listening to,
wow,
to you explain what it's like to have ease.
I've been telling her what it's like to have breasts. And a lot of women's complaint has been guys have no idea. They would commit suicide if they had to spend one day lugging these things around. They think it's all a party. And in reality, it's miserable if your boobs are too big.
So many back issues.
Yes.
Nothing fits right. Everything hurts. I hear you, ladies.
And the reason I bring this up is there is a story in the news about a company, and they make bras, Kevin. That's what they do, right?
Yes.
Prima Donna is the name of the company, and they make bras. And the CEO there, Ignace van Dorselaer, makes his male employees wear fake boobs. Let me say that again. Makes his male employees wear fake boobs so that they have some idea of what it's like to be a woman and have that back injury and walk around with weights on their chests.
The average E-cup weighs between 2.2 and 3.5 pounds each. So they put weights on the guys.
It doesn't sound like a party.
So that they know what they're talking about.
Yeah, they can feel the straps digging in. They can tell how it feels throughout the day, how much worse it gets throughout the day.
Yes, and he wants his employees, again at this company called Prima Donna that make bras, he wants them to understand how important support is. Mm-hmm. And that's the exercise that all the men in his company have to go through. And we wanted to find out more about that because it does seem like an interesting management decision to make. So the CEO of the Prima Donna company, Mr. Van Dorselaer, joins us on the phone on Key Rock right now. Hello there, sir.
It's Van Dorselaer.
Van Dorselaer. Okay, yes. Thank you. Thank
it's you. Ignace Van Dorselaer.
Okay.
You can call me Iggy if you like.
That is easier
for most people. Yes, yeah. That's why I make it simpler for them.
Now, I saw that your website is primadonna.eu, but I wasn't clear what country you're in.
We're in Holland.
In Holland. All right, fantastic. Yeah. So we got the facts right. You make bras there, and you are trying to let the men there know what it's like to be a woman with boobs.
Yes, at the Prima Donna, we like to encourage our employees to understand not only the products that we are making, but the women, the customers that we have, and trying also to help them understand what it's like to be a woman and have a female experience. And we think it increases the quality of the product that we produce.
I haven't tried this, obviously. I just can't imagine walking around with 5, 6, 7 pounds extra on my chest at all times.
Yes, not just the chest. It's not that's not the biggest problem, because the bras will give support on the breast and in the chest, and you do not feel it so much. But on the neck and the back is an enormous pain sometimes that can come from the weight, the leaning over, the curvature of the spine, the pressure that the bra puts on the shoulders and the backs. And so these men, when they have to go through this experience, it gives them more sympathy and understanding.
Do they appreciate the eye-openingness of that?
Or do they resent it and think it's not necessary because they're not idiots and they know what support is?
It differs from man to man. Some men say, come to me in the office, and they say, Iggy, I truly appreciate the eye-openingness of the gift. And other men, they don't like it at all. But we are expanding the program.
Oh, you are?
Because we're trying to expand the knowledge and education of the male employees to understand what women go through.
All right. So what do you mean? What kind of things are you talking about?
In the office, now they have to wear high heels.
Oh, the men have to wear high heels.
That seems like it'd be difficult to
walk
on.
Men must work all day in high heels.
Okay.
And learn of the pain that comes with on the tendons and the legs, elongating that leg in that position and trying to balance on heels while you're walking. And give men the experience of what it is to wear high heels.
All right, so high heels and fake boobs, got it?
Yes. Also, we want them to understand what it's like to have a period every month.
Oh, no.
Because that can be a painful experience that men have no idea.
How do you make that happen?
Well, randomly through the day, I will walk through the office, and then I will plunge an ice pick into someone's stomach.
Yeah. You should do it numerous times.
Oh, I do.
A minute.
I do numerous times, okay. Yes. They'll be going into the cafe to get a cup of coffee or a snack, and I'll spring out and plunge an ice pick into the belly.
You're a terrible boss.
No, I'm an excellent boss. I'm teaching them the experience. The experience of what it's like to have menstrual cramps.
Wow.
So they're getting, I'm here to get some herbal tea, perhaps. Blah! And I jump out and stand.
Wow. Sounds like a great work area.
It is. Yes. Also, I want them to understand that childbirth. Childbirth is a difficult process for anyone to go through. They have no idea. So randomly during the day, I will go up to a male employee and I will kick him in the balls.
Oh, okay.
I'll say, childbirth! And I will kick him in the balls. And that will show what it's like for him to...
How does anyone want to work at your company?
Also to make them truly feel what it's like to be a woman.
There's more?
Yes, truly feel what it's like to be a woman. I am paying all my male employees 25% less than they used to get.
And they love it, huh?
But now they know what it's truly like to be a woman. And by the way, we're hiring. If anyone is looking for a job, we have lots of openings because I'm having some people quit on me.
I imagine that's probably the case.
So come to Prima Donna and get stabbed with an ice pick.
All right, Iggy, thank you so much for joining us. Let's open up the phones right now. Men, women, anyone, 1-800-520-1067. Kevin, for people who've never heard, Kevin means what's good. What's it all about?
This is, we're not talking about whatever we should be talking about. Maybe we're missing something. Mm-hmm. There's something new that we're not watching on TV. There's a new movie that we're not aware of. There's news that we're not talking about. Anything that you want to bring up, 1-800-520-1067, and we will take your calls next.
This is going to be fun. 1-800-520-1067. It's called Kevin Beans, What's Good? Hit it, Steve.
Like we always do at this time. What's on your mind? Your time to shine. Come on and call us up and testify. What's on your mind? Your time to shine. Come on and call us up and notify. What are we missing and not talking about? Call up, so we can be down. 1-800-520-1067. What's good?
What's good? You can call us on any topic. You got questions, you got problems, you got complaints. We want to hear about it. Let's go to Jessica first. She's up on line one calling from Los Angeles, and I think this might be in reference to the discussion we were just having about boobies. Hey, Jessica.
Hey, morning, everyone.
Morning.
So I listen to you guys every morning, and usually when my daughter's in the car, I turn it down so she can't hear what's going on.
Right.
And she's 6 years old, and so I was taking her to school, and it was almost like it was fate. Like, the minute I turned on the car, the radio was loud enough so she could perfectly and clearly hear the little informational video you did on when she's going to get her boobs.
Yeah.
And
that's what you wanted?
That's how you wanted that puberty explained to your daughter?
Well, the funny thing is, it was like fate. Just a couple of days ago, she was like, when am I going to get mine? And I'm like, you know, I don't know.
So you, now, but you had to wait for Kevin and Bean to inform your daughter.
Yeah, so I wanted to personally thank you for relieving me of that awkward conversation.
Okay, all right.
But she has follow-up questions, so I told her, she asked me to ask you guys because I apparently don't have any information, so she was like, can you please ask them?
Wait, she didn't ask you these questions?
Well, she goes,
She was very concerned because she goes, why is it bad? What's going on? And you never said anything about them hurting or what do you mean it's going to be? And she was very worried.
See,
and
that's sad parenting
way
right
to
there.
Go, guys. No, way to go, yeah. Guys. You screwed
up
this
little girl's life. Ordering a puberty book.
So. Well, I'm sorry that we insisted on being in your family dynamic there, Jessica. We didn't do it on purpose.
Oh, no, it's okay. But if you could do a video on menstrual flow, that would be great.
All right. Right on that.
Sure.
Great idea.
We'll get right on that. That's a great tip. Thank you.
Thank you, Jessica. We love you. Let's go to Orange Line 3. This is going to be Ryan. He's up next on the Kevin and Bean Show. This is a callback to a very controversial discussion we had last week. Kevin, I think you were out that day. But, Ryan, where are you coming from, man?
Hey, what's going on, guys? Hey, Allie.
Hey.
I just cannot believe people that DVR live sporting events and watch them. And I know, Bean, I guess you DVR'd, what, like the 7th through 9th inning of the Game 7 of the World Series?
No, I DVR'd the rain delay on because I didn't know how long the rain delay was going to be. Could have been 10 minutes, could have been 2 hours. Didn't know. And it was late at night. And I thought, you know what, I'll just watch in the morning. I'll avoid all spoilers. I'll get up in the morning. To me, it was like seeing it live because I had no idea what happened and I was able to watch it in the morning.
Yeah, but it just blows my mind. Like, my father-in-law does this. He's a big Chelsea soccer fan, and he'll DVR the whole game and then watch it, like, a day or two later.
Now, a day or two? I mean, I can see why he would want to record it, because a lot of times that's on at, like, 4 a.m. here.
Yeah, but, I mean, I don't know. There's just something about knowing that it's live.
Look,
I don't know, it's different than like a normal.
I understand where you're coming from, but like I heard from a listener last week when we were having this discussion who loves the Kings and tapes and watches every Kings game, but likes watching it on the DVR because he fast forwards through all the commercials.
And that's why I do the exact same thing for Clipper games.
This is Dave Johnson, the King of Canada. You watch your Clipper games on delay?
On tape delay, yes. I'll usually start the game around 9 o'clock. And you know, not only does it have to do with skipping through the commercial and stuff, you know, I also have another person who wants to watch TV at the same time. And we watch our programs together. And as soon as we're done watching our programs, I just go in and start watching the Clipper game. I turn off my phone. You know, I don't check my phone so I don't get – the score is ruined.
All right,
I will watch it that night.
Just to be clear, those of you that tape delay the sports, you're not going to get mad at other people for ruining it.
Oh, no.
That's on you,
not
right?
Yeah, and these are normal games. If it's like a huge like playoff game, of course I will not, you know, tape that. But if I'm out of the house or something, then
Ryan,
I'll just come back and watch it.
Let me ask
night.
You this, Ryan, because I've done this a couple times with my beloved Seahawks. Start the game 1 hour in, and then you can watch the entire game without commercials. Is that a bad thing?
I'm just watching on
an hour delay.
I did it once for the Seahawks NFC Championship game a few years ago because we had some friends over for dinner and I couldn't watch it. And it killed me. Like, I couldn't. I don't know why.
Anyway, all right. Maybe
we need, like, a scientific survey to see whether or not this is actually something.
Or people can just do whatever works for them. Thank you for the call, sir. Appreciate that. Let's try Ernesto, Los Angeles, line 2. Ernesto's got a show for us, you guys.
All right. Hi, Ernesto.
Hey, what's going on, Kevin and Bean? Hey, Allie.
Hey.
What's good?
Well, I was calling about frequency. I know you guys haven't really talked much about it. It's on the WB. It comes on after the
Do you
hour.
Mean the CW?
Yes, he means the CW.
I'm sorry. DW,
okay.
I apologize. Yes. It stars, Kevin, you would know the actor, the actress Peyton List. She was on, she was Leonard Snart's sister.
Oh, yes.
Well,
wait,
yeah,
when does the show come on the CW? After what?
After the Arrow.
Oh, after the Arrow.
I have seen a couple of episodes of Frequency, and it's based on the movie. It's the same. You guys remember the movie with
Jim Caviezel,
yes, from about 20 years ago. And now they've made a TV series. It's about a woman who gets in contact with her dead father via a ham radio.
I knew you would like that part.
And they try to solve crimes and things like that and change history based on one of them talking to the other one from 20 years before. It's actually pretty good.
It's really, really good.
All right, wait a minute. Is it pretty good or is it really, really good?
It's really – I think it's really, really good.
Ernesto likes it enough to have picked up the phone and given us a call this morning.
Interesting.
So there's a tip if someone's looking for a new show, maybe Frequency. If that premise sounds interesting to you, like you can talk to your dead dad 20 years ago on a radio – maybe you ought to check it out. Thank you, Ernesto. Appreciate that. All right. Let's try to help out Sandy here. She's been calling for a couple days. We haven't had time to get to her. She's in Culver.
I think it's a he.
He is in Culver City. I apologize. Sandy, welcome to the show. Thank you for holding on. What's going on? You got trouble in your family, it sounds like.
Yeah, my cousin up in Reading, she was out for a jog. She's a mother of two, and last Tuesday of last week, she just became missing. Her husband came home a few hours later to an empty house. He's like, where is she? Where is she? Used a Find My iPhone app and just finds her phone on the side of the road.
Whoa.
And she's been missing since.
That is everybody's worst nightmares, to have a family member just disappear like that. Do they have any kind of theory on it or any kind of hint?
Her headphones were there with it. She was out for a jog. We have no leads. We suspect that she's been abducted, and this has been 8 days. She can be anywhere. This is tearing my family apart.
And where was it?
Reading, California. It's
Reading,
like,
okay.
150 miles past Sacramento.
Okay.
Now, my initial thought is it's unlikely someone listening to us right now might know something, but who knows if we don't know where she is. I guess she could be anywhere. It's possible somebody could run into her or run into somebody who knows her, right?
Yeah, and from being in L.A., all I can really do is just share on social media and just keep the word out, keep her picture. She's 5'3", 100-pound blonde girl. She can be anywhere, but if you guys don't mind posting on Facebook, there's also a tip line as well. Can I give the tip line?
Sure.
It's 530-378-4491. If there's any information, we just want Sherry home.
Okay. And if you missed that phone number, we'll put it up on our social media, and of course, you can get it on this podcast. And her name again?
Sherry Papini.
Sherry Papini. Okay. Sandy, glad. I hope that helps, man. Our fingers are crossed. Our heart goes out to you and your whole family. I hope there's a happy resolution and soon. Thank you for the call, sir.
Thank you for taking me.
You bet.
What's good?
Ba-da-ba-da.
Oh, sweet Jesus.
Had a caller who just got in a little bit too late for Kevin Means What's Good, who apparently was in Michigan, and I think he may have been going to one of the ceremonies today. Hey, bring my music back. Where's my music?
I don't know what's happening.
Hey, bring the thing back up.
I don't know what happened. The machine failed.
That song must have sunk to the bottom of Lake Kitchigumi.
Oh, that is a shame that we can't hear the rest of that song.
It's a shame we had some sort of technical difficulty.
That's
the 41st anniversary of the sinking of the mighty Edmund Fitzgerald on the...
How mighty was it?
Meanwhile, back to the showbiz beat.
And a listener was calling because he was going to one of the ceremonies.
It's 8:52 now and time for the Ralph showbiz beat.
Keyboard Cat came by. Hi, Keyboard Cat. What are you doing? You're playing off? You're playing off the Edmund Fitzgerald?
Remember some great men who lost their lives that day.
No, right there.
November 10th.
Keyboard Cat won't have it.
Showbiz beat and then the lovely Kathy Griffin, whom you have known for...
I thought it was safe.
Nope.
You have known for how long, Ralph, Kathy Griffin?
I have known Kathy for... Golly gosh.
Ever?
What? Forever, yeah.
Forever.
You lost me at golly gosh.
Came out of your mouth.
It's gotta be like 25 years I've known Kat.
And you hit that or did not hit that?
I never hit that, no.
Really? Yeah. You love redheads.
I do, and I never really had this conversation with Kathy, but I don't know why we never had the sex. I'm not quite sure.
First question.
Yeah, back when Kathy was at the Groundlings, she and I was doing Acme Comedy Theater. We knew each other then, and then we did a short film together called A Rough Day at the Office. It was a low-budget little short comedy film we did together with some very talented other actors. Mm-hmm. And then we all watched Kathy explode and become a superstar.
And you were all jealous and angry?
I was never. I am always very supportive of the people that I think are actually funny and talented, and when I watch them succeed, that
it
brings
makes
me pleasure.
All right.
It's the people that are awful who get good things. That invariably will frustrate me.
Why are you looking right at Kevin
and
Bean?
Envious and angry. Yes.
Well, Emmy and Grammy Award winning best-selling author Kathy Griffin joins us right after the top of the hour. First, though, here's the showbiz beat.
Speaking of people that I love and I want good things for, I just got finished with a conversation with our friend Marin Dungey.
Oh, yes.
From TV's Conviction.
Unemployed's Marin Dungey.
Not unemployed's Marin Dungey at all.
Turns out false.
It is false, and I wanted to make sure that I corrected it because I was...
Show killer Marin Dungey was on the line.
I was one of the douchebags who perpetuated the misinformation, the myth, the lie that was started by the Hollywood Reporter that called Conviction canceled on ABC. I was talking to Marin. Actually, I started the conversation by reaching out to her to offer my condolences.
Same.
Oh, really?
Same conversation yesterday.
She got back to you?
Yeah. Hey, sorry to hear about that.
Hey, dumbass. Not canceled. So I wanted to get the word out there that if you're a fan of Conviction like I am, on Tuesday nights at 10 on ABC, Marin says it's not canceled. effing Hollywood Reporter got it wrong. We are simply doing 13 episodes instead of any more. Everything is fine. Have a big episode this week, so please tune in. Can you please set the story straight on the Showbiz Beat? ABC loves the show. We are just doing a tight 13-episode season, so keep watching. Thanks so much. So apparently ABC has, there's a lot of fans over at ABC for the show. They're pulling for it. They want people to find it, and it has not been canceled. So if you're a fan of Conviction, if you like Haley Atwell, if you love Marin like we do, if you enjoy that show like I do, then keep the faith, because it's not over yet. So I wanted to make sure I made that correction, because I felt bad that I was giving out bad information, which I do a lot.
Sure.
But rarely feel bad about it,
right,
oddly enough. But in this particular case, because Marin's a friend of the show, I did want to make sure I got it right.
Good for her, by the way.
I'm sorry. This is the guy who just called her unemployment's Marin Dungey and show killer Marin Dungey.
Yes.
And now it's good for her.
Because now I'm happy to hear that she's got a job for a very short amount of time still to look forward to. I think that's awesome.
Having you in the studio is a special kind of joy.
It's tiring.
No, it's a special kind of joy. Because you rarely get to see so much crazy in person. Usually you hear the crazy.
Sticking with tiring.
Off the, through the ether, and you see it's kind of a disembodied voice. But when Bean is here with us in the studio,
right,
it's a brand new world.
But you're not in here most of the time.
Well, no, I'm not crazy. I have legs, don't I? But it's a wonder.
I'm glad you're enjoying it,
Rob. It's a wonder to witness.
But it's over, right?
It's one of those things.
Okay.
Then you look at it, you say, wow, I can't believe that is actually happening.
One more hour, guys. Just one more hour.
Of course, I know everyone's sick of it. We're trying not to dwell on the election because there's a lot of bad blood in America on both sides about what happened. But there are some showbiz-related stories still worth cleaning up, I think, before we try to move on. Who do you think of all the celebrities is probably the saddest about the outcome of the election?
I didn't really pay attention to the celebrities that were.
A lot of celebrities were outspoken on one side or another about what they would like to have win.
You mentioned Katy Perry earlier.
She was a big
She comes to mind only because she was at
the face.
She was at the
Robert
convention.
De Niro.
Robert De Niro.
Wanted to punch him in the face, right?
No one is sadder than Robert De Niro.
Okay.
Because now he can't do what he wants to do.
Right.
He was on Jimmy Kimmel this week talking about the results. He was promoting a project, but Jimmy, of course, wanted to talk about that famous viral video that we all watched when it was released, and here's how that went.
Are you still going to punch Donald Trump in the face? Because you can now get arrested for that, I think. Yeah.
I can't do that now.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, it was kind of sad that he can't do that anymore. However, he did hold out hope. He said, you know, maybe Obama will when he sees him tomorrow. So he's talking about the meeting between Donald and Obama today.
That's going to be a little icy today.
Yeah, it is.
That's going to be a difficult conversation
I would
between
think
those
so,
two
yeah.
guys, right?
Yeah.
I mean, Barack Obama has spent months talking about how Donald Trump is unfit to be president. And now he has to welcome him into the Oval Office and say, all right, it's all yours in a few weeks.
But to his credit, Obama said, look, the Bush team, when I was making the transition, were very professional, very nice, very good to us. So I'm going to take that as my example and try to be the same thing to Donald Trump and his team.
He's a better man than I am.
One of the great things about America is that we have a history of a peaceful transition of power.
Yes, absolutely. He'll probably joke about it. Say, hey, remember those 5 or 6 years when you said I wasn't born in America? That was funny.
That was
wasn't
crazy, right?
Wasn't that great?
Good times.
Yeah, those were good times. Christopher Lloyd, one of my favorites. Doc Brown from Back to the Future. Just been announced he's going to be guest starring on an upcoming episode of The Big Bang Theory. Now, they won't reveal what character he's playing in the episode, which is set to air on Thursday, December 1st. But I gotta hope it's Doc, right? You gotta hope somehow they work in it. They had Leonard Nimoy doing the voice of Spock. Actually,
right.
He was a Spock action figure, but Sheldon would hear the voice in his head. I gotta hope that Christopher Lloyd will either play himself or some version of Doc Brown. I think that would be awesome.
I do as well.
Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Tracy Morgan is 48 years old today. So happy to see how Tracy has bounced back from that accident.
Same.
And
has.
Healthy again and working. Boy, we were all real concerned when that happened. But it seems like he's doing well. The turtle's happy. Everybody's happy.
Everyone's happy.
Tracy's 48 today. Ellen Pompeo, you know her from Grey's Anatomy. She's 47. Warren G is 46. Josh Peck, the actor, turns 30 years old today. Taron Egerton from Kingsman. 27 years old. And Diplo!
Well, that's all well and good, but what does Diplo think?
He thinks today's his birthday, and it is. He's 38 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show of his beat.
Kathy Griffin.
Right?
Right?
Give it up, everybody.
Kathy Griffin.
I hear she's difficult, but she's somehow here.
And she's such a piece of ass, too. That's the thing that amazes me.
Here's the thing. I am not going to apologize today or ever because my ass somehow gets hotter.
I don't know how you do it.
And I objectify myself sometimes, which is wrong.
And people ask you to apologize for that, do they?
Sometimes. Well, I get asked to apologize for quite a bit.
Okay. It's disruptive because you're so hot that it throws out it throws everybody out of whack. Because
there's a brain in here,
it.
People. There's a brain.
I know.
All right.
And it's overlooked sometimes. Kathy Griffin is not only an Emmy winner, a Grammy Award winner, a comedian, a producer, an actress, a reality television star. She is a, once again, New York Times bestselling author, and her new book is coming out on November the 22nd called Kathy Griffin's Celebrity Run-Ins. Yeah. Now, Kathy, you've met everyone in the world.
That's why I finally wrote this book. I've turned into one of those people that's met everyone. But I want you to know
You don't go to brunch unless Cher is there. I mean, I know you.
I watched the election at Sharon Stone's house.
See? Boom.
And boom. Cher was texting us the whole night.
All right. That's the lady we're talking about.
I don't know your boring world because you're plebeian and it doesn't matter to me. However, I do love people. I can't help it. I just
only famous people, or do you have time
really
for
really mostly famous?
Famous,
famous people. All right.
So this book covers many stories that are not in my act, most, and it's little snippets, little bites, if you will. Because I want you to know what inspired the book, because I hope you understand this.
Okay.
And this is a real story, and I put it in the little foreword.
All right.
One night, I was watching Straight Outta Compton.
Hold for applause.
Well, I'd like some sort of reaction.
I mean,
well,
we all saw it.
Believe you?
It's a good movie.
I feel like you guys don't. What kind of reaction
do you want?
Because you don't know how urban I am.
Okay.
And I feel like you've never understood that.
Okay. Lots of white people saw and enjoyed that movie.
But I'm very hashtag urban. Okay. I mean, I am.
I don't feel the urban out of you.
I am up on the expressions. I might call someone a jive turkey. I mean, I am very up.
Oh, you're current as well.
Very current. And so.
Friends with Snoop Dogg. I will give you that.
Okay, so the movie ends, and I turn to my, as you know, much younger boyfriend.
Yes.
Don't you give me that look.
I'm not giving you any look.
Yes, you are.
You're giving
me a judgmental. I'm sitting at the right hand of the Father. All right, so I turned to him, and I said, you know what's weird? I actually have worked with four of the people portrayed in this movie. And then I started thinking, I should write a book about all the unusual celebrities I've met that people would never think I've met or know.
Is that the first time you had that thought?
I swear.
Feel like every time you've been in, we've said you need to write a book.
You don't ask me about Suge Knight ever.
Well, we don't know about Suge
Knight.
That's
right, because I'm exciting and I've met so many people. I'm almost too urban. A lot of people have come to me and said, take the urban down and
tone down the
urban.
Now, I'm trying to figure out.
I want to hear the Suge Knight story.
I know Suge Knight. I worked with Tupac Shakur.
Wow.
I've known Snoop Dogg. I made out with Snoop Dogg when I hosted the Billboard Awards. And I knew and worked with
Cube. You probably know Cube, too.
Oh, of course I know Cube.
Yeah.
And I also know T because I was on Law & Order. But, I forgot to tell you this. I write this in the book. I had a feud with Ice-T on a little channel called K-Rock. Because I was doing, back in the day, Bingenheimer. Right?
Okay, right.
And then I was joking. I was a totally unknown comic. And Ice-T was saying how he used to be a pimp. And I was like, I don't even believe that. He's trying to get street cred. And then the next day, he freaking calls in and is arguing with the obnoxious redhead, whose name he can't remember. And no joke. I mean, 15 years later, I'm on Law & Order, and I'm thinking he's obsessed with how he's going to approach me.
Sure.
All day, I can see him racking his brain. Oh, I had arguments. I was going to win this one.
Right.
And then finally, we're sitting next to each other, like during like a stop down or whatever, and I was like, so, are you over it? And he's like, it's Kathy, right? And I told him the whole story, and he laughed his butt off. He thought that was so funny.
All right, now wait. When you told him the story, did he even remember it happening?
He said, he actually said, I used to do all that stuff back in the day.
Okay.
But then he was super nice. He was like, girl, do your thing. You say whatever you want to. Don't hold back. And then we, got
along. That's hilarious.
And then, of course, I threw in a... Boy, that cocoa was something else. You know what I mean?
Sure.
Yeah. You want to keep it friendly.
Yeah, keep it light.
Okay.
How did you cross paths with Tupac?
Okay, get this.
Yeah.
All right, so I was on an ill-fated but really fun Roseanne show for 6 episodes, and it was on Fox, and it was called Saturday Night Special. And Roseanne was amazing at getting really big stars to come and do guest spots. So she actually invited, once again, Ice-T, and Ice-T comes in. Then Snoop comes in as just an added bonus, like they were just hanging out. And we were all excited, like, oh, my gosh, they're there. And then I'll never forget, Ice-T's like, oh, Tupac. Here, do you mind? And then Roseanne was like, let's put him in the show. and he had the whole do-rag and the whole thing, and I'm just watching him, and he was, of course, so famous. All of them were. So I, of course, being a nerd, like followed them around watching all day. And then I noticed, and I'm wrong, and I will admit when I'm wrong.
Okay.
I swear to you, I saw Ice-T reading for him. Like the script, because they had him do a sketch.
Reading it to him, you mean?
Yes. And I had this thought. I thought, can you be as famous as Tupac? And what if he's illiterate? And I was fascinated by that. So I followed him all day. And
to
then,
try to catch him reading?
Yes. And by the way, I have worked with people that are literally illiterate. And
really?
So they bring like a coach or severely dyslexic, whatever.
But Tupac wrote hundreds of songs.
Exactly. And so I spent the whole day thinking I was like on a spy mission, like, I'm going to get to the bottom of the. I don't know why. I don't know what possessed me. But yes, he can obviously totally read and write. But I'm just telling you, for whatever reason, maybe those guys just had like a chemistry that they do this, but like he would look at the script and then they would read him his lines, and then he did the sketch and he improvised a lot, which of course I love. And then I write in the book with complete humility, and you know, for many years I admit I would like, what if Tupac Shakur was freaking illiterate and also a giant star? So,
and you're the only one that knew it, right?
That's right. And I like to be on the cutting
edge. Of course,
edge, right?
Yeah, I like to blow
even,
the lid off.
You know what? Even when I'm wrong. Even
right.
When I'm wrong.
Especially when you're wrong.
This is the voice of our friend Kathy Griffin on the Kevin DeBean Show. Again, we're talking about her new book called Kathy Griffin's Celebrity Run-Ins. It is available this Tuesday, right? The 22nd of... Is that this coming Tuesday?
It's
no,
a
it's
week
not.
From
it's
Tuesday.
A week
Tuesday.
From Tuesday.
Okay, cool.
Yes.
Just in time for the Thanksgiving weekend, Kathy's book.
Yes.
And before we have to take a break, I want to say you have an event coming up at the Wiltern that is happening on the 28th. Now, that's an unusual place for a book event, but what's going
yes.
on?
Yes. Okay, so this is really cool. So, Mary McNamara, the Pulitzer Prize-winning writer at
we
the
know
Los
Mary.
Angeles
She's
Times.
Wonderful.
She's awesome.
Yeah.
So she does this thing called Ideas Exchange. And so she called me and she said, you want to do a Q&A and a signing as opposed to just a signing. So she's like super smart. And I said, absolutely. So that's what the Wiltern is. It's a like Q&A and then a signing. And it's actually about half sold out, which is cool. But I love that venue.
That's a big room.
I yeah. played it a million times. It's
yeah.
a great venue.
Yeah, yeah.
And so, yeah, we're going to do that the 28th. And I'm super, super excited.
That's awesome. Tickets, by the way, start at just $15 for this event, which is great. And the book's going to be there and you're going to be there. And question
yep.
and answer on stage.
Tupac's
going to
be there.
Tupac will be there.
Sure.
And that event is coming up on Monday, November the 28th, less than a week after the book comes out. More with our guest, Kathy Griffin, right after this one, Kate.
You know how that ends?
Yeah. Okay. We had enough of that one.
Get it.
Ladies right. and gentlemen, the great Kathy Griffin is in studio with us here on the Kevin DeBean Show with
her
brand new
so
book
special.
Called Kathy Griffin Celebrity Run-Ins, available everywhere on the 22nd. What did I say about Kathy earlier today when we were talking about her coming up?
Tell me.
What did I say, Kevin? Remember?
Wow, Kevin.
You were hoping to nail her.
No, that wasn't it.
Done.
I remember
there,
what you
that.
Said.
I don't remember.
What
done.
Did I say?
Because you made me mad. You said she's exhausting.
She's exhausting, right?
You're going to be so exhausted by the end of this.
I'm already worn out.
Ralph's taking a nap because he knows what's coming.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm wrung out.
He's having what we call a little lie down.
All right. So Kathy's book, as she explained to us, is stories from celebrities that she has run into. Stuff that's
over
not...
Years.
Over years and years and years. A lot of celebrities you wouldn't have expected. It's not in the act. This is stories we haven't heard before. I'm going to throw out a couple at you, and then you give me what you got.
Okay.
Lando Calrissian, mother effer, the great Billy Dee Williams.
Okay, thank you for getting that. Okay, so I was in some Notion store on Beverly, right?
Okay.
And I was taping my life on the D-list, and we were doing this silly episode where Lauren Conrad was trying to teach me how to be like a fashion, you know, maven.
Right.
So she takes me to this store on Beverly that I had no idea was a celebrity mecca. So we're filming in there, and then in walks... freaking Helen Mirren.
Oh my.
Oh, hey. Why?
So I go up to Helen and she's like, hello, Kathy. And I said, hey, I'm doing a little reality show. Would you be willing to step in camera? And she went, no. And I said, all right, Your Highness. And then.
You have to respect that though, right?
Of course, of course. And so then I hear this like, well, hello, funny lady. Turn around. There's Billy Dee Williams in a blazer and a like a lamé, which is a shiny fabric scarf.
Couldn't look any sharper.
Oh, that's right. Couldn't look any sharper. And he was apparently he has a love for making his own scarves, and he was shopping for fabric.
Is that right?
And the funny thing is, the nerd straight dudes on my crew were like, they were paralyzed with glee. And because what's his name on those movies?
Lando Calrissian.
Okay, but what's his name in Mahogany?
I'm sorry, I don't have that. I don't have
that information. Get out!
I can't help you. I'm not up on my Diana Ross movies. I'm sorry,
oh,
Kathy.
Oh my God, why do I bother? So anyway, the funny thing is, he also wouldn't agree to go on camera, but he actually watched this film and everything. But the best part was, I go up to Helen Mirren again, and I'm like, Helen, you blew it, because look who's over there. And she's like, oh my God, is that Billy Dee Williams? And so I introduced them. They had like a fabulous conversation, and then I left.
They had no need for you at that point.
No, but it was so – he really talks like that.
That's awesome.
Like, wait, what's the ad he does?
Colt 45.
Yeah. He was in full Colt 45 mode.
Do you think he's ever not?
No, I think he always is. Right?
Was he hitting on you? Was he being super suave trying to get some of
that?
Yeah,
but I got to be honest. I feel like he kind of dumped me for Helen Mirren.
Okay.
Like, I feel like he was like, oh, there's funny lady Kathy Griffin, but there's an Oscar winner.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
That's a good point. No. All right. Here's the name most surprising to me in the book.
Yes.
I never expect you to know sports stars.
I
ever.
Hate sports, and I believe they should end.
Although, as I understand, you are
very good.
I understand
stance.
You are in awe of the great Wayne Gretzky, though. I understand he's one that you love.
I am in love with him.
In love with Wayne Gretzky. Okay.
Even though I hate sports, I do love excellence, and so I've always wanted to meet him. You know, he's kind of a unicorn. He doesn't ever go anywhere.
Yeah, you
and
never so, see him anywhere.
Never see him anywhere. And so I was on a flight, and I was like two rows behind him. And believe it or not, your beloved Kathy Griffin actually was shy for the first time in my life.
Wow. You were afraid to walk up to him?
I was.
Yes, of course.
I don't know. And also, you know what else? There was a bro across the aisle that was that drunken guy that wanted to go over every game.
Oh, no.
So then I saw Gretzky take the hat and be like, oh, I'm going to sleep now. So I couldn't bring myself. Okay, walked out of the plane. Never in all my travels, 80 cities last year, 50 cities next year on tour, never have seen a mob at the gate. So I don't know if they bought plane tickets, but I mean jerseys and everything.
Wow.
Then all the way down to the carousel with the luggage. And I almost wanted to step in and be like, you guys. And he was so sweet. And after a while, he got so overwhelmed. He was like, you guys, I got to go. So then I wanted to get his number. So I called a young person and I said, I want to meet Wayne Gretzky.
Right.
And they're like, you mean Paulina? And I go, no, why would I care about her? And they're like, she's sexy and an Instagram star. I go, no, I want a legitimate
person. That's his
daughter,
right?
And so, so I got Paulina's number. I get her on the phone. And I go, give me your dad's. Put on your dad. And so.
This is Kathy's life, by the way.
Yes.
This is her life.
So you had an opportunity to say hi to him on the plane, but couldn't. But then reached
but then
him by
stalked
phone?
Him in real life.
I know, but what am I going to talk to the freaking daughter about? I mean, she doesn't have one Stanley Cup. So anyway,
That's a good point.
Was like, look, hottie, put your dad on. And so Janet got on, the wife, and they were having maybe a little nightcap.
All right.
And I say that with love. And so I had a show the very next night, and of all places, the T.O., I think it's called at the Kravis Center. But anyway, I said, do you want to come see me tomorrow night? And he's like, oh, I don't know. I hear you're too vulgar, eh? And he
That's your
really,
impression of Wayne Gretzky?
You know, he talks like Bob and Dave. He really does. It's hilarious. And so the next night, he brought all of his homies to the show. They all bought Kathy Griffin T-shirts. I have the best picture of me and Wayne wearing a Kathy Griffin.
Okay, that's
he
weird.
Doesn't know he's the only straight guy to wear a Kathy Griffin T-shirt. And I wasn't going to tell him. And we went to dinner afterwards.
No
and I
way.
Got to ask him about, like,
what?
Here's the great thing about Wayne. Like, I was trying to make jokes, and I would say stuff like, so, how are the Esposito brothers? And he'd go, good. And I was like, Wayne, I was kidding. I thought they were dead. And I kept asking him all about my heyday, because I'm a Hawks fan. And when I went to high school, I would wait outside the Chicago Stadium. So I was asking him about every, like, obscure Blackhawk. And he knew all of them. He's friends with all of them.
Are you guys still friends, you and Wayne? Yeah. Or did he change his number after that dinner?
He's going to change it soon.
Okay. All right. Okay. Hey, I have to ask, Kevin, don't mock me here, but I have to ask.
Oh, don't, dear Lord. Well, I'm sorry. We're out of time.
Taylor?
Thanks for coming in, Kathy.
Do you know
okay,
Taylor?
Okay, look. Here's the deal with Tay-Tay.
Okay.
I you know what I am? I'm what's called an acquired taste. And sometimes the young stars don't – I have not acquired yet.
Okay.
So I
like where this is going.
Okay,
all right.
You're going to love it.
So you're not her flavor.
I am not her flavor.
You're
okay,
not part
so,
of her squad?
Oh, no.
I almost got my butt kicked by the squad.
Oh,
so I was at the, like, either the Clive Davis party or the carousel ball or whatever, and I'm sitting there, and then it's one of those events where they announce the celebrities. So I thought it would be funny if they were like, and comedian Kathy Griffin is here. So I stand up and I wave. By the way, I wave so long that Dave Grohl goes, sit down. I mean, I was waving for like 10 minutes. And so finally, I thought it would be funny. Because I've been a little hard on Tay-Tay, and I thought she would enjoy it. So I look at Taylor Swift.
Oh, you thought
Swift.
She would have a good sense of humor?
Yeah, I did.
That's a good
so
call.
So I look read. At her, and the whole room is looking at me, and I give her the, like, two fingers, like, I'm watching you, I'm watching you.
Yeah.
And then she looks behind her, like, what is she doing? And I nod my head, like, I'm coming for you.
Right.
And I really thought she would think, and she was with the squad. It was, like, freaking Lord and Gomez and the band Corey Haim or whatever they are. And so... Then the whole squad walks by me. The whole squad. And so now I'm back in high school.
Right. Yeah.
I'm like, oh, God.
You're on the outside
the
of the
nuns aren't going to save me. The nuns aren't going to save me.
Right.
And so I'm like, hey, Tay. And I was going to say, come on, I'm just teasing you. Come on.
Yeah.
Nope.
We're just having fun.
Huddled outside the bathroom. And then eventually I have to pee. And I held it. Because I
you didn't want to walk past that room.
I don't want Lord to beat me up.
No, you don't.
And you know she could.
She could.
She could in a second.
Wow, that could have been an ugly beatdown.
Oh,
squad versus Kathy?
With a full squad. And you think Angelica Houston's going to save me? Yeah. Come on.
I feel like that's a better story if you get beaten up.
Oh my God. After all we've been through together.
In retrospect,
oh,
I'm saying
fine.
Now you're fine.
Well,
now you're good.
Anything to sell the book.
Okay, good.
This book, by the way.
Wait, you're not going to ask me about
Marshawn Lynch?
Yes!
If you insist.
It's the most impressive one to you personally.
I'm very excited because I am
already got Wayne Gretzky for me. So
I do love the Seahawks. You know that, and I love Marshawn.
Okay, well, first of all, I did not know that was his team.
You didn't know he was a Seahawk.
No.
Why would I?
I hate them.
They won the Super Bowl a couple of years ago.
But then did they go out of business?
A couple of years ago they won?
Yes, they won. Well, 2013.
All right,
that
so
ago.
Get this. I'm doing a gig in San Francisco, and I'm co-hosting with the great Danny DeVito, and it's very star-studded. Amber Riley, Renee Zellweger, Grobes, of course. You know, Josh Groban.
Josh Groban.
And so, anyway, when you're hosting these things, as you know, many times you get the vamp, stretch.
Right.
The band isn't ready for so-and-so. So they give me a cheat sheet with pictures, and they're like, here are the people to target. Go try to get donations. So, of course, I look at the most imposing black guy looking, and I'm like, that guy. So I'm in a red Valentino ball gown. Which year?
Well, how would we know the answer?
2014 collection.
I don't know that.
We should have known that.
All right. So
That's our bad.
Nobody tells me anything. I run out there and I see him and I start yelling, is there someone here named Marshawn? Okay. Every straight guy, and this is always a sign you're onto something good as a comic, take out their cell phones manically, like this. So I go up to him and the room is freaking out. I'm like, who is this guy? So I go up and I'm like, so inappropriate, grinding on him, jumping in his arms. And I'm like, hi, big boy, who's got some extra cash for charity? And he played along, but I could tell like by the faces of people. So I then run backstage. I'm feeling very triumphant. And then four crew guys are like, don't you know what you did? And I go, no. And they go, he has severe anxiety. He doesn't like to be touched. And in fact, the NFL fined him for not going to press day.
Yes, he would not do interviews.
He said this.
Hey, I'm just here so I won't get fined.
That was him, right?
Yeah, that's him. And you jumped in his arms.
I tamed him. I tamed the beast mode. But he did. He had the ring, and the straights were... You straights get very excited
about the weirdest things. We love our athletes. That's
very
true.
Very weird.
That is true.
Kathy, I can't wait to read this book. We didn't have time, but Ron Jeremy is in the book. J.J. Abrams, Bryan Cranston. The list goes on and on and on. You've met them all, and you write about them in the new book called Kathy Griffin Celebrity Run-Ins, available everywhere on the 22nd. One more time, for your fans... They want to see it at the Wiltern. Details, November 28th, 7:30 p.m. Where do they buy the tickets?
KathyGriffin.com, LATimes.com, exchange of ideas or whatever. It's also available for pre-order.
Okay.
All right, go to my website. Also, Ralph has been tweeting about me a lot.
Yeah, I heard that you sat down at his computer and used his Twitter account. That's what I heard.
Oh, my my gosh, did I?
Yeah, that happened. Yeah.
I feel like I kind of, it's a blur.
That happened. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 9:42.
Look at this. How sweet is this? Old friends back together, Ralph Garman and Kathy Griffin.
We have what's called a genuine chemistry.
We do.
Do you?
Can you hear? Are you having trouble with your headphones here?
I'm not reaching for your vagina. I'm trying to turn up your mic. Is that
I know, but the dial was in my vagina.
That's odd.
Can you hear now, Kathy?
I can. My vagina can hear perfectly. It has 20/20 hearing.
All right.
I don't believe that's a thing, 20/20 hearing.
Well, it's got 40 years on it.
Time for our final look at the showbiz beat here on a Thursday morning, Kevin. A beat show. What's going on?
Is that against the law, by the way, hacking someone's Twitter account? And sending out spurious tweets.
I heard that you were so excited about that you sent that tweet.
My Twitter account was hacked.
That was nice that you did that, I think. I mean, that's a cool thing to do for a friend.
I made the mistake of leaving it open on my desktop computer in the office. And the next thing I know, when I'm reading my own Twitter feed, is that I have tweeted out a blatant promotional plug for Kathy's new
and
book.
And you love the book, apparently.
At Kathy Griffin. At Kathy Griffin.
You loved the book. Apparently, you gave it glowing reviews.
Oh, my God. What was your favorite part?
I haven't read the book.
Oh, my God, Ralph.
And I don't like the fact that you just sat down at my computer and sent out a tweet on my behalf.
Well, guess what? I'm going to go into your Tumblr. Because I know you Tumblr.
I don't have a Tumblr.
Well, oh, BS. You Tumblr more than anybody, any Demi Lovato fan ever wishes.
There's no Tumblr. There's nothing. But
you need some help, Ralph. I'll Tumblr for you.
Oh yeah. Really? I just want to point out, by the way, did you see him open? He openly scratched his balls.
Yes. Openly.
Fired?
Okay. Yeah, this is not about me, Kathy.
Let's not deflect. I believe you committed a crime by hacking into my Twitter feed.
My dream is a celebrity mugshot. So let me do my hair like Nick Nolte and let's get this done.
All right.
Fine.
Some kind of law has been broken.
Tumblr, honey. You're Mr. Tumblr.
Stop talking about Tumblr. I'm not even on Tumblr.
Love it. Fine. Go to a message board.
Because that's a thing.
I'm going to my MySpace page, and I'm going to say bad things about you. Hey, I want to give everybody a heads up. Friday night, 10 p.m. at the Improv on Melrose. Kevin Smith and I are taking the stage for Hollywood Babylon at the Late Show on Friday. Love to have you come out and join us there. It's a great club, and it's a good time. Me and Kevin Smith there almost weekly for the next couple of weeks. So show up, 10 p.m. Friday. Go to improv.com to get your tickets.
That cool!
Support live entertainment.
Yes.
Support live comedy.
That's what we always say.
Maybe the next time when Kevin Smith's off directing something, he's out of town, maybe you'll come in and co-host and sit in with me, and we can dish
I
about
would
celebrities.
Love, call me. I would totally do that.
But you're always on the road. You're always traveling and doing gigs and stuff.
You have the 150 grand, right?
Sure, I got that. Yeah.
All right, good. We're good.
In his pocket.
What about the jet? Does he have a jet?
He has a jet, yeah.
Okay.
We have to fly you to Melrose?
Yes. Have you not met Barry Manilow?
No, I've not met Barry Manilow.
I'm not even sure what that means.
I'm not either.
He would fly five blocks in his jet, and I demand the same.
Barry played Vegas every night and flew home to Palm Springs in a jet.
Is that right?
Yes.
Yep.
What?
Rolling in money, printing money.
Wow.
Loaded.
Trying to spend it as fast as earning and can't.
Well,
that's insane.
It's all for Mandy.
Wow.
I mean, we're having Culture Club and we're dropping Mandy references. This is spectacular. All right, let's talk about Gwen Stefani, shall we?
All right.
She has a new boyfriend, of course, Blake Shelton, now that she's separated from her husband.
Do you approve, Kathy, Blake Shelton and Gwen Stefani? Is that okay with you?
Nope.
You don't like it?
Not a good Hollywood couple? Why don't you like them?
I don't like it.
Why?
Because I like that little Miranda Lambert. And I don't like that people thought she was all chubby and everything. And I met her one time and she was feisty.
Okay.
So I like that.
You wish Blake had stayed with Miranda. Gotcha.
Yeah.
Well, there's a problem in their relationship. Apparently, Gwen is a devoted vegan. And she claims she can smell meat on people who eat it.
Is that a thing? I don't feel like that's a thing.
I couldn't be vegan for 5 minutes, but I respect that about her.
You love the meat too much.
You sure bet I do.
From what I've heard.
Uh-huh.
But vegans can smell meat on people?
I don't think that's a thing.
If you've been doing it for years, you smell it. Or maybe he puts meat on his...
Oh.
You know what I mean.
I don't know if I can tell this story or
some au jus.
But I knew a woman who was vegan,
and
she wanted to not engage in certain practices with a man.
She literally wouldn't eat meat.
Because she believed the bad stuff of meat would be transferred to her via certain practices.
Did you try to really sell her on? Were you like, look, my meat is corn fed, it's organically grown.
It's a Hebrew national.
Yes, kosher.
Kosher.
Yeah.
No, I didn't. It wasn't like that was going to happen. It was just in the midst of a conversation where she said, "Oh, I would never with a man who wasn't another vegan because I don't want the poison of meat to be passed on to me via something else."
Yes. And then did you get her to do other acts?
No, there was not. It wasn't like that. We weren't
negotiating.
Because I feel
like then he would want to, like, humiliate her. He'd be like, "Oh, yeah, I'll show you some meat." Next thing you know, she's on a Chinese basket with Tommy Lee.
What's happening right now?
I'm not positive.
We were not in negotiations for acts. It was just a conversation that was being had about acts. I wasn't trying to get her to do anything.
I say bring it to the table.
On my Tumblr. Put it on my Tumblr. Anyway, so apparently when they make out, it's hard for Gwen because she can smell the meat. Which I rented once. I rented Smell the Meat. It's not the film you think it's going to be.
I'll bet.
I did Airbnb. I didn't want to rent.
Word is she doesn't want to hurt his feelings and now is trying to get him to eat apples or have mints before they ever kiss. So that's constantly coming between them.
Wow.
Hmm.
Okay.
Hmm.
Well, when I'm right, I'm right.
Kelly Ripa. Kelly Ripa has admitted that she had a bad Botox job a while back. People have been asking her for the past 6 months why she hasn't been smiling. It's not because she's unhappy. It's because apparently the Botox went bad. The experience went bad. And both sides of her face ended up being more paralyzed than she had hoped.
So she was trying desperately to smile but couldn't?
Yes. I'm so happy. I'm so very happy.
Kathy, you don't need it because you're naturally beautiful and
no,
always
you know
will
what?
Be.
I actually stopped doing all... What's so crazy is I did all that stuff when I was like 36 and 37. And then when it didn't turn me into Jennifer Aniston, I just... Look, I could frown. I got wrinkles. I don't care anymore.
What's your advice, though, to your show business friends who come to you and go, I'm thinking about getting a little work done. Do you try to talk them out of it?
I don't talk them out of it. But first of all, for a comedian, actually, guess what? It doesn't really matter. It matters what you say.
Right.
And also, I do know that like a lot of the gals that have a lot of face work, they can't get cast in certain roles because they either have the duck lips or whatever. And it almost takes you out of the movie.
It often doesn't make you look better.
Right.
Often
it can age you. A lot of the really younger girls that get it. I mean, that Francine Kardashian. What's her name? The one with the lips.
Francine.
Yeah, it's Francine. That's accurate.
Look, I can't keep track of all the names.
It's Kylie.
Anyway.
Are we talking Kylie?
I guess.
It's chlamydia. But chlamydia Kardashian.
She looks like a very well-preserved, 60-year-old. Because she's got, she's a very attractive senior
citizen.
She doesn't
look 19 or whatever. Yeah,
no.
You're up.
No. And I blame Tyga. I blame Tyga.
We all blame Tyga.
Okay.
Sure.
And finally, Warner Brothers has announced a release date for its remake of the musical A Star Is Born that will be starring Lady Gaga and Bradley Cooper.
What?
This will also mark Cooper's directing debut. He's going to direct the film as well.
No one directs Lady Gaga. All right, newsflash, Brad. You'll do as you're told and you'll say thank you. I'm going back to hyperventilating.
You're insane.
September
28th, 2018 is the date that they've circled for that film. So you can look at your calendars now and jot down Star
I'm sorry,
is Born.
I thought you said 2018.
You heard me.
So
September
not next
28th,
year.
2018 is the release date.
Will you
date
put it on your Tumblr that we should get in line
I
now?
I absolutely will.
We should get in line right now. Yeah. I mean it.
This
I mean it.
This is the fourth version of A Star Is Born that's ever been made. First one was in 1937.
I thought you were going to ask me to name them. How dare you?
Oh, okay. Go ahead.
1937 who was the guy?
She offered.
All right. Judy Garland was one.
That was 54's
version. Okay, Streisand and Christopherson.
That was 76.
And I did forget the original. Who
the original,
is it?
Janet Gaynor and Frederick March in
of
1937.
Oh, my God. I miss Frederick March so much.
Don't we all?
Don't we all?
I know.
Freddie March.
We have a lot of listeners right now.
Maybe not his government name, but a good Hollywood name.
Yeah. A lot of listeners very into Frederick March. Disappointed you didn't come up with that.
That's your demo. That's your demo.
That's correct.
The fans of Frederick March.
That's who we're going after.
Mm-hmm. Got him.
It's Gaga and Cooper. You can. All right. Yeah, I'm sorry. I brought it up now.
Love her. Diva queen.
Today's celebrity birthdays. First of all, I know you're a big supporter of the military, Kathy.
Of course. I've been to Iraq. I've been to Iran. I've been to Uzbekistan. I've been to Kuwait.
You perform for the troops very often.
Yes.
We appreciate that. But the United States Marine Corps is celebrating their birthday today.
Hoo-ah!
241 years ago. The Marine Corps was formed, so congratulations to all those men and women who
That's
do serve
right.
for us. Tracy Morgan's 48 years old.
Love him.
Ellen Pompeo of Grey's Anatomy is 47.
Love her.
Warren G.
Oh, my God. What's your favorite episode of Grey's?
Not ever seen one, ever.
Oh, my God. Me too. Not because once. When he put the thing on her hand when she was dying.
I've never seen
one. And then she
one.
Realizes who it is.
It's not
and she's
one
like,
episode.
It's 007. It's 007.
I don't even how use the words Grey or Anatomy any longer. That's how much I don't watch that show.
I am going to hack into your Tumblr so fast.
Warren G. is 46. Josh Peck, the actor, is 30 years old. Taron Egerton from the Kingsman movies. Love him. 27 years old. And Diplo. Of Major Lazer fame is 38.
I'm sorry. What exactly is Diplo's skill set?
He's a DJ. He's a DJ. He writes, songwriter, records music.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. What's the insurance package on that? Because that isn't even a real job. You open your laptop and you hit send. I'm sorry.
It makes millions of dollars.
Let me tell you something. When Liza does a song, there is a full band behind her and people care.
Liza's not doing any songs anymore.
Well, you know
and
what?
People don't care anymore about
Celine
that.
Celine is not going to work all with right. someone named Diplo. I can okay. tell you right now.
I'm Rob Carmen. I walk the show.
Thank you. Out to SoCal Helpful. Honda dealers are handing out random acts of helpfulness. We all win with a commercial-free 5 p.m. hour this afternoon on K-Rock tomorrow morning. R.J. Bell gives us his picks for Week 10 of the NFL. John Huertas from This Is Us is on the program. And Nick Offerman talks to us about wood. Is that true?
That is
yes.
true.
All right. That's
he has a bestseller.
Morning.
It's a bestseller. I swear to God. It's really good. I read it. It's funny, and it also actually teaches you woodwork.
It well, sure does. You're building a bench? What are you doing at home?
Been,
what are you doing
it's funny. Your place? I have been begging him to build me something. I swear to God.
But you build something.
I build you read dreams.
Oh, Jesus. And thank you, Kathy Griffin. Kathy Griffin's book is called Kathy Griffin's Celebrity Run-Ins, and it's November 22nd.
Yeah.
Thanks for coming in.
I love you guys. Thank
bye.
You.
See you, bye.